much about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. All right, let's start. Chit chat time's over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Toast in my tummy. I love you, toast, all kinds of toast. I love toast. I love toast. Every day, every meal, yum, toast.
Really, how sad. Spider-Man on Hollywood Boulevard, and what are all these turf wars going on between the people that dress up and greet the tourists with the rappers? They should all get along and have the people in the costumes dance to the rappers, at least.
What's wrong with him?
And now...
I'm project manager, I think, because of age. I'm the only one in there without a tampon in my pocketbook.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, man.
That's a wonderful visual.
Charming.
That is not what you want to hear.
Although, wasn't Joan Rivers' tampon at Lollapalooza this year?
They were, yeah. Very good. God. Very good, too.
That's a hot band name, by the way. Joan Rivers' tampon is strong. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Dean.
What are you wearing?
Lisa spent the night with a new man last night, Kevin.
Oh.
Yes. He doesn't have a name yet, but...
What?
Yeah, I got a little dog.
Okay, I was going to say, that's odd.
I prefer my men to have no name.
You got a little dog.
I did. He's a 4-pound chihuahua. He's 2 years old. So cute.
You could eat him at one sitting.
I'm a little alarmed at how little he is. I'm hoping to put a pound on him, which would be ginormous.
Wow.
Yeah. So Rudy's one possibility for a name.
Oh, you need names.
I need names.
Rudy is awesome. Rudy's a great name. In tribute to our friend Psycho Mike, right?
Mm-hmm. And then...
Joan Rivers Tampon.
Yeah.
Joan Rivers Tampon's an awesome name.
Top three. Cosmo.
DRT.
Cosmo.
Cosmo.
Yeah.
Why Cosmo? Where'd that come from? Well, it's not from Seinfeld, right?
Cosmopolitans are my favorite drink.
Oh, my God.
And then
please don't do that.
It's Cosmo. Yeah.
Please don't do
but
that.
But then I might be like Kathy Lee Gifford naming her dog Chardonnay and
yeah,
Chablis.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that? No. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well,
Red Bull Vodka, come here.
Diet Coke, over here. I'm trying to get her to name her dog RNG, but she won't have it.
That's a name that Bean said he's always wanted to use but hadn't.
What? Yes.
Orangey.
Orangey, yes.
That one's been in the back burner.
That's
like, oh,
better than
yes.
Diet Coke.
What?
And by the way, think about how many pets I've had. Think about the dozens of names that I've had to come up with for my animals, and I still haven't found. Because I don't just decide what the name's going to be before I get them. I have to get the animal first and see if that animal looks like a certain name. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I haven't met an orangey yet.
Wow, so what a surprise. You don't have an animal that looks like an orange.
The animal doesn't have to be orange. But the point is that RNG is a very famous cat in movies and television, won a bunch of awards for being a great cat actor, probably most famously starred in Breakfast at Tiffany's, the great Audrey Hepburn movie. That cat actor name was RNG. That's not what the name was in the movie.
I wish you would die. Orangey. So
good names, though.
Yeah,
I do have good names.
He doesn't. They're all terrible.
Linus.
Come on, Veruca.
I love those names.
Atomic, yum yum. Come on,
yum yum.
I want
yum
to
yum is.
Yeah, I think yum is cute.
Yum yum is named after a famous literary character too.
You have an attachment to your animals, so to you they sound fine. But yum yum is a bad pet name. Like if you didn't have it associated with an animal that you loved, you'd think the same thing.
I don't think so. By the way, there was also a band that I loved named Yum Yum, whose records I have as well. So I have a long history with Yum Yum.
Is there a band named Orangey?
Oh, there needs to be. I bet they'd open for Joan Rivers Tampon. That's a double bill right there.
What a terrible name.
Oh, my
Lisa,
God.
Lisa, you seem to be getting some help on Twitter. Everybody seems to have an opinion on what you should name your dog.
Yeah, I am getting some suggestions, so I will definitely be considering them. But
it's pretty tough to beat Orangey.
Yeah.
Orangey's an awesome name. I'm telling you guys.
That's got to be in the lead.
Knocked it out of the park.
I'm just, look, I'm willing to give you that name. And then, of course, I could never use it, but I'd be happy to have you have it. That's all I'm saying.
You could never use it because if you were both in the same location with your both of your pets.
There's something weird about that because Mike has a dog named Milo.
Right.
And I love that name.
Okay, so use it.
But it's his dog's name.
It's right. His dog's name. You can't steal somebody else's pet name.
But unless he's going to be at your house with his dog, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Couldn't
at all.
Couldn't it be confusing, though, if I came in one day and said, oh, Milo, blah, 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 and then you're like, oh, I don't know. Is that Mike's dog? Is that Lisa's dog? I don't want confusion.
No, why would you be talking about Mike's?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
She may end up at Mike's house one morning. You don't know.
But you have to come up with a name that no one else that you know has?
That I know, yes.
Yeah, you can't name your pet the same thing that one of your friends has a pet named. You just can't.
That's ridiculous.
It makes perfect sense. What? Totally perfect sense.
Only if you were going to intermingle with the...
No, because it's just you're ripping them off. You're taking a bite out of their life. That's just... come up with your own damn name.
Yeah, they come up
with...
You know, they use all their brain power to come up with this great name, and you go, oh, I like that. I'm going to use that, too.
And you just steal it. You can't just steal somebody's pet name.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Kevin?
He doesn't know.
You guys might be putting really too much work into the pet name.
It's got to be their name for their whole life. It's important.
That's very important. That's why you go with Orangey.
When I named my cow Buttercup, I knew there were other cows in the world named Buttercup. I mean, I think that's one of those names, isn't it? Like Elsie, that's kind of associated with cows. It's not an uncommon name for cows. But I didn't know any of them. If I had known a Buttercup, I would not have been able to use it. But I didn't know any, so
you know,
I was not aware of these rules.
It's like ordering food. Those rules that I wasn't aware of when you guys can't order the same.
Very different.
It's the same thing.
No, I'll tell you why. Because when you're at a restaurant, if I sit down and you order something, I can't order it because you win, right?
Right.
But that's because we're both there at the same time eating. So unless my pet is having a play date with your pet, it doesn't make any difference.
No, you've won the name game.
Then you go,
yes.
And now
right.
I have
then
to go try to play my own move.
And two dogs come. And then all right, you know, that's all hell breaks loose.
Let me throw this out to you, Kevin, and then we have to move on. And unfortunately, I have to save my story for tomorrow at this time about the guy who shot himself in the penis. But that's okay. We'll save that for tomorrow.
All right.
Handgun, shot himself in the penis. Okay.
Evergreen.
Let's say you had a friend who lived on the other side of the country who was pregnant, and your wife was pregnant too, and she had, the other person had their baby first, and they gave it a name. Pick a name, Dave, whatever it is. And then your baby came 2 weeks later, and you also named your baby Dave. Uncool, right? Even though those kids may never even meet, super good friend, they name their baby Dave. You can't turn around and then name your baby Dave. That's weak.
First of all, babies are people, and dogs are animals.
Irrelevant difference in this conversation, though, because I'm going to your point of whether they're in the same room in the same space together. You say that's what makes the difference. I'm saying even if it's on the other side of the country and they'll never meet, it still would be a weak move for you to take your friend's baby name.
I don't think so.
Really? It would bother me.
Well, here's the thing. If it's something that's as normal a name as Dave, which millions of people are named, then it wouldn't bother me. If you named your baby Orangey, and then I said, hey, I'm naming my baby Orangey, maybe, yes, but...
All right, we found a little middle ground then. All right. We can move on.
Okay. All right, let's talk about this.
Well, let us know. Keep us posted, Lisa, on how little Orangey is doing, okay?
I will.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Here's an idea. Why don't you mind your own business?
All right. Be happy to. Is being an a-hole brand new
no.
game?
No.
Brand new game?
Mm-hmm. I just answered that question. It's a no.
Well, that's not what it says on my schedule. My schedule just has a yes. I don't know. We're going to talk to the people behind 5 Second Films. I don't know if you've seen these or not, but
I haven't had time.
They are exactly what they sound like, 5 Second Films. And some of them... A little slow in the middle. We're gonna have to talk to him about. Yeah. We're gonna have to talk to him about editing,
Mr. ADD over there.
Kind of lost me right around the 2 second mark.
And don't you go to other movies in the theaters? Like I don't know, like the Transformers movie where you go. That would have benefited from the 5 second film treatment.
Yes, sure, but not. But see, that you don't want to only be 5 seconds. But these are pretty funny. I mean, how do you make a movie in 5 seconds?
How do you?
That's impossible. Comedian Eddie Ift will be in the studio today.
Ah, he's funny.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
So we got that coming up. We got the TSA their new screening process, which I got to tell you, it's I just flew over the weekend. It's kind of worth sitting there just watching for a while, you know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they really get up in there.
New spectator sport.
Whoever it is, wherever their hands are, they get up in there.
And I also like, while we're talking about the spectating aspect of it, I also like the hot chicks that you wish would take off their sweater so you could see what was going on. They have to take off their sweater to go through. So that's kind of a treat.
We're pathetic.
It's turning around for you guys, isn't it?
It is. I'm starting to like it.
We are just pathetic. And your boyfriend or girlfriend got married.
While they were your boyfriend or girlfriend?
And that was a surprise because you thought they were with you.
Man.
We had the story yesterday of somebody who was engaged, mm-hmm. and they ended up marrying somebody else, and they went, oh, I thought that engagement thing was for me.
Phone call would have been nice.
Turns out, nope. No phone call, no text, no email, no message, no, hey, if you ever see so-and-so, would you mind telling them? Nothing at all. So that's a sweet way to find out. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Hey, Ralph, how you feeling, man?
Better.
Good.
As long as you stop throwing up, everything else is manageable.
Yeah.
That's what you realize when you're sick.
Yeah.
If I could just stop this one activity, I could do other things. But when that activity is first and foremost in line, nothing else matters and nothing else happens.
And you start keeping track of time, too. You go, okay, it's been an hour. Good.
Right. So maybe that was the last one. An hour ago. Oh, no.
Not to get into too much detail, as people may be eating, but the worst is when you're out of anything to throw up, and you still have to throw up. That's the actual bottom.
That's when you really think just your stomach lining is going to come up.
Exactly.
Your body's convulsing so hard, some organ is going to have to come up because
one of your innards,
all of the muscles just seem to be pushing some part of your body out of your mouth. Yes.
I don't mind losing weight, but perhaps not body parts.
My abs have never been firmer.
Yeah, sure. I bet.
Right. Good times.
It's a great workout. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Kanye West has highfalutin problems. Apparently, he's got a stalker. Well, who doesn't? But in this case, his stalker is Angela Martini, best known as 2010's Miss Universe Albania.
All right. I know what she looks like.
If you have to have a stalker, it's good to have a Miss Universe contestant stalking you, right?
But she's not a... crazy stalker. She's
isn't she?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, I'm answering. Okay. She is.
Uh-oh.
She apparently snuck her way into one of his record parties, and security had to throw her out. And now, sources say, she's taken to just following Kanye around to whatever restaurant he's going to, and she goes to that restaurant.
Oh, no.
And gets a table near him, and she's been telling anyone who will listen that they're in love. And Kanye has yet to meet the young lady. But she's causing a problem for his security detail.
Stop it.
I'm so sick of Miss Universe walking around telling everybody that we're in love.
Please. Well, I don't think she was the winner. I think she was actually Miss Universe. I think Kanye's holding out. He's waiting for the real Miss Universe to start stalking him.
Just a contestant.
Just Miss Universe Albania. So she was the competitor from Albania.
I think it's a pretty solid rule that people who stalk are not hot. With some exceptions.
She's the exception to the rule, obviously, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger seems to have an odd sense of humor. TMZ caught him walking around the other day in a T-shirt emblazoned with the words, "I survived Maria."
Are you
kidding?
That's some brass ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
After what he did?
Wow.
That really takes the cake.
Wait, he survived Maria while he was impregnating the housekeeper, right?
Yeah, right. You keep that up, you won't be surviving her for long.
Wow.
Yeah, the T-shirt apparently was given him as a gift, as a joke, by his former political staff last November, insiders say.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily pertain to his current situation, but given his current situation, isn't that a T-shirt you retire from the lineup?
Absolutely.
Even if his current situation didn't exist, I don't know that you want to wear...
Yeah.
That's your wife.
Right.
Mother of your children, some of them.
I survived her.
Where's the I banged the maid T-shirt? That would be more fun.
She needs to go out today wearing one of those.
I know we've talked about this before with the premonitions.
Yep.
But Nicolas Cage claims that when he is 9 years old, he had a premonition that he would be playing the comic book character, the Ghost Rider, in a movie. And he said, "Look at me now. as the second Ghost Rider film is getting prepared to be released.
Yeah.
He said he knew it would happen, and decades later it came true.
Huge comic book fan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but weren't most kids at nine?
Absolutely.
And if you asked any actor who's playing a comic book character who grew up in that time frame,
probably,
did you think you'd play Phil in X, Y, or Z? They probably all had fantasies of that.
Look at your boy Andrew Garfield the other day talking about wearing a Spider-Man suit at two. I'm sure he dreamed of growing up and playing Spider-Man.
Right. And if he really has psychic abilities, wouldn't Nicolas Cage have known the first Ghost Rider would suck? And then be able to avoid that pitfall if he really had any sort of special gifts? That's what I would want to use. Not so much that I would do a movie, but it would blow. Leanne Rimes wants to show her love for her husband, Eddie Cibrian. So she got a tattoo over the weekend at the Hard Rock Hotel in Chicago.
Bye-bye.
It's a line from their wedding vows that reads, "You gave me the courage to be truthful. I promise to give you the comfort to be trustful."
Boy, wow.
It's a horrible line.
It's a terrible line.
But the good news is she had it done in temporary ink. So I guess she's committed, but she's not that committed.
Wow.
So it'll be washing off soon. But she thinks she's going to get it permanent sometime soon.
If their marriage lasts.
Maybe this is a good test. Maybe everyone should do this. Put the name, if you should have another, on your body, but do it in like henna or something so it washes off. And see how it goes.
Try it a couple
things
times.
Things get rocky, you know, don't get the tattoo.
I like
especially
it.
You, Kat Von D.
Oh, come on. Stop. How are you
going
to?
I'm just saying.
And I knew this was going to happen. The Jennifer Lopez deal over at American Idol is starting to cause rifts amongst the judging team over there. Here's the thing. J-Lo just got a new deal for $20 million.
A little bump.
For this upcoming season of American Idol from her 12 from her first season.
That is a giant raise.
Yeah. Wow. They say it's a smidge over $20 million. That's according to sources at Fox.
Wow.
Is that a metric smidge or is that an English smidge? I have a hard time figuring out the math on this. Anyway, Steven, who feels he is just as important to the show as Jennifer, and I think he could possibly argue that fact.
Sure.
He got $10 million for two seasons.
Okay.
So as you can imagine, he's a little grumpy right now. And now he is in, apparently, a negotiation battle with producers to say, give me more money or you might have to fill a seat after all. So,
but we've talked about this before with actors who hold out once their show becomes a big hit and they've got an original contract. But what happens to Steve? I mean, can they sue him if he has a two-year contract with them and he says, no, I don't want to work for now what I feel is being underpaid?
No.
They can't.
No, because if he doesn't do the work, they're under no obligation to pay him for that work. But if they're not paying him, it wasn't like, I don't know, if they gave him the money up front, if they gave him a $10 million check for two seasons,
right,
and then he doesn't complete the second season,
right,
then I guess they're entitled to sue to get that money back. But I'm doubting they did that. They're probably paying him per season.
He
got the first five, and now they're expecting to pay him another five. But if he doesn't work, they don't have to pay him. There's no harm, no foul. Now, he may not be able to go off and do another TV show within that time parameter because of contractual obligations. But
he does a lot of TV.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think that's a danger. I think he's going to go host America's Got Talent or anything. I think he's fine.
The good news for him, and this is what makes him different from a lot of other people in their jobs, is that he can go out and easily make $5 or $10 million in the period of time he would have been filming American Idol. He just take the Aerosmith out on the road and make that money no sweat.
Right. The boost to his career from last season, I think, would certainly be worth $5 million to him.
Sure.
So we'll all be on pins and needles, waiting to see what happens there.
That's crazy.
Next thing we know, Mike Reno from Loverboy could be sitting in that chair. We don't know.
And they'll bring back your girlfriend, Kara.
Oh, please, God forbid. Today's celebrity birthdays. Big, big, big list of very cool people. Sam Elliott, one of my favorite character actors of all time. You may know him from Tombstone. He was in Roadhouse. Oh, he was the original cooler in Roadhouse. Remember that? He was Patrick Swayze's mentor.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great actor.
He was in the Big Lebowski. Played the Stranger. Remember he was the cowboy character in that? Big mustache, but he always plays cowboys as a giant mustache.
Yeah.
67 years old today. I made Kevin remember somebody.
I was wondering how many roles you were going to have to come up with.
How could you be happier? Melanie Griffith is 54 years old today. Rapper Curtis Blow. These are the breaks. He's 52 years old today. Whitney Houston is 48. Gillian Anderson from X-Files fame turns 43 years old today, as does Eric Bana and director Mick G. Thomas Lennon from Reno 911 is 41 years old today. And actress Anna Kendrick, who was so good in Up in the Air, she is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to tell you about some new TSA policies. It seems like it's different every time you fly. And by the way, it kind of ticks me off that airports don't all have the same policies, too. Some airports, you don't have to take your shoes off.
Oh,
some
they're very different, yeah.
It would be really nice if there were, you know, conformity, so that you knew what you were supposed to be doing when you get up in there in line. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Plus, apparently, Kevin's wife will be joining us later this hour, too, and that's usually never good news for Kevin.
How dare you?
All right, what's this new bit called?
Bean's an asshole.
No, it is Bean an a-hole, right?
Bean's an asshole.
I don't know. That's what we told Omar to make.
That sounds to me like he's making a judgment call, like he's already decided.
Well, I think it's rhetorical. So, I mean, why put is?
All right, here's the question, and maybe I can get your guys a vote on this, because I don't...
Bean's an asshole.
I felt bad when this happened, but I honestly don't think I was at fault. Now, I should, and I'll explain to you what happened, and you can tell me who's in the wrong here. I should preface my remarks by saying, as you know, I am no fan of the handicapped. I don't care for the handicapped. Okay. I don't like them. I don't want to be around them.
All right. I'd like to stop the conversation right here.
What? I've just set it up. I want to set it up because that's relevant to the story.
Right. But you've already stepped over the line into being an a-hole.
Yeah.
Because...
Asked and answered.
How do you not like... Handicap.
That statement makes no sense at all.
I mean, you see him and you don't go, oh, wow, that's, you know, that person has a lot more problems than I do. Maybe I should be grateful.
Because they're not as good as we are. Because they can't do things that we can do. That's why.
Okay, so
that's Bean's an asshole.
That's already been answered.
Right, but that's what you're asking me, why I don't like the handicap. That's why. Because we're better than they are, right? Because they shake or they sit down too much or whatever it is they do.
Sit down too much.
Let's move past this. That's not the point of the story.
No, but I'm saying it is part of the story.
The deep background is I don't care for the handicap. You know that. All right, so having said that, I'm sitting at a stoplight the other day in downtown Seattle, right there by the Pike Place Market, Kevin, where you remember going, where they throw the fish and all that stuff. I'm getting ready to take a right turn right there on Pine Street. And I'm in the center lane. There's three lanes. I'm in the center lane. There's a big bus to my left. Now, the bus is kind of blocking my view of whatever is behind it on the other side in terms of people maybe perhaps heading out into the street, into the crosswalk, okay?
Right.
The light turns green. And because I'm a cautious driver, I don't gun it. I wait a second to make sure nobody's coming. There might be somebody, you know, that is out of my line of sight on the other side of the bus, right? I wait a second. It's clear. I start to move forward.
Right.
And as my car starts to move forward into the crosswalk, here comes a guy in a freaking wheelchair just flying across the intersection.
At least he's hurrying up.
After the light is green, after I've waited a second to be a careful driver, now he's almost directly in front of my car that is moving in a forward motion. All right?
Yikes.
So you stepped on it and you want to know if you're an a-hole?
And I killed that bastard. No. So I stepped on it. I slammed on the brakes. I mean, it's terrifying when you see that thing. You know, you only have a couple of seconds or less to react, but you see that thing out of the corner of your eye and you realize there's something in front of my car. I slammed on the brakes. He looked up at me, threw up his middle finger at me. He flipped me off because I almost hit him with my car when he was jaywheeling. I guess it would be jaywalking. Jaywheeling across the intersection.
So the light was green for you?
Yes, green for me. I waited a second. Ooh. Then I started to go. Then he wheeled his stupid little wheelchair. Why don't you walk like the rest of us in front of me and brings up the middle finger.
You ruin your entire argument with this ridiculous, why don't you walk, and I don't like the handicap and all that.
Well,
all that ridiculous nonsense. You ruin your argument with it. See, you don't lead with that. You just say, I'm sitting in traffic and a guy in a wheelchair comes across. And then we go, I don't know, light green for you? Yeah, okay, then it's on him.
It's on him, though, right?
But you started with you don't like the handicaps.
Well,
so it's automatically on you no matter what happens.
I think they know it and they're going after you is what's happening.
I can sense it.
Yeah.
No, I say it because I want you guys to see past if I have any bias against the guy because I already don't like him. I want the objective opinion of the room whether or not I'm somehow the bad guy here because I almost hit a guy in a wheelchair when he's the guy who pulled out in front of me. What's he doing flipping me off? How do you think that people are just going to wait forever for whenever he decides to go across that intersection, red or green?
How many seconds was the light green for you? Just like a second or two?
Yeah. I mean, I waited a beat and a half after the light turned green, right? Again, it's not like I gunned it the second I got a green. Right. I waited a second just to be cautious because I knew that there was a bus that might be blocking my view on that side. Thank God I did, by the way.
Please.
But or he would have wheeled right into the side of my car. And then he probably wouldn't have had the money to get that fixed, right? Because you know how they are. But I'm just saying, was he right to flip me off?
All right. Wow, this is complicated. He would be wrong to flip anyone else off. Yeah. That would be my ruling.
How dare you, sir?
Any one of 7 billion people, that's on him. Uh-huh. You, sitting at that light, I think he did the right thing.
We applaud him, really.
So it's a little karmic payback, is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Be the asshole. That's right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and we are presenting Road Trip USA, stop number 3311 in Sublime with Rome at Red Rocks. Qualify all week with tickets to see them locally here at in Southern California. It's the world-famous K-Rock right now at 6:23.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Just keep going. Really, didn't I? Just keep going.
Although I don't know why you are, but thank you for listening anyway. Look, with all the things that have happened since 9/11/2001 and all the changes that have been made in what we, the passengers, have to go through at airports around the country, we keep hearing the same thing over and over again. Well, it's way different and much better and much different in Israel, yet they never have any kind of hijackings or any kind of problems. They know who's getting on their plane because they've got a system. And people always say, well, that system's not going to work here. You can't just do that here. You got to be more proactive. You got to take the x-rays. You got to put your hand in my underwear. You got to do all that other stuff. But now, I guess, Kevin, am I right about this? They're talking about bringing the Israeli-style security screen to the United States, starting with Boston's Logan Airport.
Yes. And the way they do it is based a lot on, like, body language. And they ask them a lot of questions. And they read their reactions. And they can really kind of tell... Mm-hmm. If your story falls apart, why you're there, what you're doing, how long you're going to be there, they can read your body language and then can kind of tell if somebody's really nervous. They give them extra screening. So it'll take, you know, more time, but it seems to be super effective.
So in other words, this is just like when you cross the border into Canada and Mexico and you're talking to the border agent from the United States who says, why are you going? How long are you going to be gone? Where are you coming back from? You know, how much money do you have? Those sorts of things that they ask. They're just trying to trip you up and make sure your story flies.
Right.
Okay. Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Alex, since obviously if this is successful in Boston, it'll spread across the country and it'll be on the West Coast before you know it. She has lined up a TSA agent for us named Oren Gelbart. Mr. Gelbart, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Oh, please just call me Oren G.
Oren G.
Yeah. Okay. All my friends call me that. My nickname.
Oren G.
Right. Oren G. Yeah.
All right. All right. So do we have the facts straight, sir? This is the Israeli style. It really just means more personal questioning of each passenger, right?
That's right. That's how we get the results from people is we look at their body language when we ask them certain provocative questions, and those indicators are very often excellent ways to determine who is a potential threat and who is not.
But I have to ask you this, Mr. G, and that is, aren't there secret agents or, you know, government officials, for instance, whose job it is to pretend to be somebody that they're not, and they are well trained to be calm and cool under stressful situations? You wouldn't be able to find out somebody like that.
But your average terrorist is not a professionally trained secret agent. It turns out most of them are common people with a certain political or religious agenda, and
sure,
they react the way a common person would when confronted with certain high-stress situations.
And you do the normal screening as well.
Of course,
but yeah, then you just ask them questions.
This is just an addition, too, and these questions can be very useful in indicating who's a potential threat.
Now, what kind of stuff do you ask? I'm sure you've honed it after.
We do. We have certain questions we know are absolute indicators in terms of who is a potential threat. Often we'll start up by asking, can you juggle?
Can you juggle?
Yeah.
Juggle.
It's a well-known fact that terrorists cannot juggle.
What are you talking about?
There's not yet been one terrorist who can juggle.
Right, but Mr. Gelbart, very few people can juggle.
That's not my problem.
Okay.
But I know terrorists can't juggle. And then, you know, we'll throw them a couple oranges and say, all right, do something. Knock me out. And if they pass that, we give them those pins. You know, those juggling pins. Or we give them I don't know, scarves or something. I don't know. We'll just make it interesting. Okay. And it's entertaining for the other people standing in line as well.
I see. That is true. Okay. What else?
Who was your favorite character on Happy Days? We find is very useful.
Favorite character on Happy Days?
If anyone says Potsy, we take him right to a holding facility.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's the wrong answer.
He's a douchebag.
But most people don't have a favorite character on Happy Days.
I think I beg to differ. I'm a professional, and I know this for a fact. You know, Fonzie,
right,
Richie, Mrs. C.
Okay.
Let's see. Ralph Malph, of course.
Sure.
Right.
Al.
Sure.
There's Al. Run the diner,
Arnold.
Right? Okay, uh-huh. We don't need to name everyone, but I mean, I'm just saying.
Chuck doesn't come up very often. Chuck was the Richie's brother in the first season, and he just disappeared. We don't know what happened to Chuck.
Right, okay. If somebody were to say
Chachi would be an acceptable answer. Pinky Tuscadero, also. Not a common answer, but also acceptable.
Okay.
Okay, all right, I got you.
We ask, is that a hummus stain on your shirt?
Is that a hummus stain on your shirt?
They get all nervous, then they're probably carrying dynamite or something.
Okay.
Do you use ketchup on your hot dog?
There's no way you're asking these questions.
That is an indicator you are not an American if you put ketchup on your hot dog. That is blah. It's mustard. Yeah. Mustard and relish only.
Yeah, that is a party foul. You're right about that. I agree.
Wow.
How would you choose to kill Tyra Banks given the opportunity?
Oh, yeah. I can see
that's a useful question. No, it doesn't really help us know anything, but just from my own personal knowledge, it just gives me just a little something I can write down.
But maybe they say, with the bomb around my stomach, and then you go, whoa, whoa.
No, then I put him in a cab and I send him to Tyra Banks. Oh,
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:36.
Funny man Eddie Ift joins us on the studio later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show, also the director of the 5 Second Films. That's a hilarious website. You talk about you only have 5 seconds and what you can do with it. Pretty impressive stuff. So
yeah,
that's
this has made it specifically for me and my attention span, which is very, very short. I can barely make it through these.
So I have bad news for anyone who is still in school that may be listening, because you're about to hear the words back to school. Once a year, we bring in Kevin's lovely bride, Melissa, joining us in studio. Hey, Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
And the two of those guys together run a charity called Friends and Helpers, and this is the annual back to school drive. And it's hard to believe we're talking about that already, but yeah, we're almost halfway through August. What's going on?
It's not, you know, the summer flies past. We got to get ready. We got a lot to do. So here I am. Thanks for letting me come in and talk to all your listeners again.
She's been working on this for about a month already.
Oh my God.
Yes. 3 months, Kev.
Yeah, I know. 3 months. You don't have to tell me.
Kevin's got his finger on the pulse.
We
at
run
all times.
A charity for called friendsandhelpers.com or .org, and it is for abused women and children. And a lot of times the women have to just run with the kids. They don't have money. They don't have clothes. They certainly don't have backpacks or school supplies.
Gosh.
And so the kids who just want to kind of act normal and not let everyone find out about the trouble want to go to school.
Yeah.
And not have to answer questions why they don't have a pencil or paper or backpack or whatever.
Exactly. And it may seem like a small thing to have all your pencils and papers and things like that, but it's a huge thing. And I can tell you, we're getting requests from centers and the police and their after-school program and all these people who need help. And with just 2 minutes of your time, you can totally change how a kid goes to school this year. So go to friendsandhelpers.org. That's the easiest place to go. You can get all your information there. We have Pete's Coffee on the west side helping us out. You can just drop off stuff at Pete's. If you go on the website, it lists all the locations. You can mail and stuff. The easiest thing to do, go online, click, and donate. $5, $10, $20, whatever you got, we'll take it, and we'll turn that into a backpack. And we really, really need your support. We've had more requests for backpacks this year than in our 20-year history.
Yeah, it's
that's just tragic.
It's sort of depressing because we started
it's
with
tragic.
Like one giant truck, and now we have 3 giant trucks, and still just seems like it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, and you know, and if you don't have any money, that's totally cool. You can come join us and K-Rock, actually, on August 20th. We're going to be at Galpin Ford. We love our guys at Galpin. And we will be in North Hills at 15505 Roscoe Boulevard at Galpin Ford. Fill in backpacks. You can bring your kids. You know, you get that one loser kid who can't get his community service done. Boom. Right through the system. We'll get it done.
Get him signed off.
We're gonna have a really great raffle. I'm probably giving Kevin away at this point, so just you come, you can take him too. It's going to be a really fun day for everybody to come down. You know, we start early in the morning.
Bring supplies, bring some paper, pencils, whatever.
Bring money because we're going to have, like I said, a great raffle. We're going to we want to thank the guys at Reliam, the people at Pete's, the guys at Reliam who keep our website going. And just if you go to our website, it's great. It's easy to use. You'll see a list of what we need, a lot of where it's going, how to help us. And again, as you know, a lot of you guys are, have been listening for a while, Friends and Helpers has no overhead. Everything you give us goes to somebody in need. We don't...
There's no administration costs or anything.
There's no
administration
costs. You
guys handle all of that yourself.
I like to bring this up because the IRS tells charities that you have to give a total of 5% to the people that need it.
And you can use the rest for yourself.
And you can use 95% to pay your staff or for overhead or for anything. That's a ridiculous number to us.
Yeah.
So we take care of everything. We have volunteers on the board.
Yeah, we have volunteers, which is great.
Spend a lot of time. And so 100%, if you give $5, all $5 will go to a child who needs it.
And I mean, this is very unique what you're doing with the backpacks and stuff. I don't know of anybody else doing that. I'm sure there's someone somewhere, but this is pretty unique.
Well, if you come down and join us on the 20th, you'll see people from every organization this year. They're going to come down and they're going to be picking up their own backpacks. They're so desperate. The need is so huge. They're like, can we come to the event? Can we come help? We want to bring it. And like I said, you know, I know times are tough out there for people, but just anything you can do to help, you know, maybe you've got a good idea that would help us, you know, do a better job with this.
No, we don't need good ideas.
We need money. We need money. Yeah. You know what?
But you know what's really fascinating is we did this before. But you remember we were talking about, we went to Galpin one time before, and a family showed up, a guy with his kid showed up, and they brought some paper and some pencils and stuff. And they said, this is really so great, and you get rewarded when you help other people. And he said, I'm going to be back. And then they turned around, got in their car, went back to Target, got some more supplies, then brought them back over. And you just go, wow, that's crazy, amazing good.
Yeah. And every age kid's welcome. I'm sorry, Bean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, just to reiterate, I mean, it is obviously it's a great cause. We know that, and you do feel good about doing it. And it's amazing how, I mean, $25 is a lot of money to a lot of people. Even to the people you're asking to donate, $25 is a lot of money. But look what you get for that $25. I mean, that backpack, I mean, these are tricked out. This is everything they need for at least the first half of the school year,
full
right?
Full of supplies, yeah.
And we
binders and notebooks, dividers, glue sticks, rulers. I mean, they got everything that they need. And you're right, that's the type of thing that in their situations, they're not going to have that kind of discretionary income to go out and spend on stuff like that because they're worried about, you know, food, medicine, things like that.
And the kids don't have to go to school and go, I don't have a pencil. Why? I don't have paper.
Kevin, what? You strike me as the guy in your class who never had the school supplies,
no,
not because you couldn't afford them, right. Just because you lost
just
them.
Just because I forgot it.
You strike me as the guy who every single class was saying to the guy at the desk next to you, yeah, do you have a pad? He has a pad I could use.
Can I borrow the answers?
There are two ways you can help. One is, as Melissa said, please donate as much or as little as you can afford. You can go to friendsandhelpers.org, or Kevin put up a post this morning at kevinbean.com if that's easier for you to remember. There's an easy link there. Or if you want to be there for part of the live event, it's going to be this Saturday at Galpin Ford.
No, not
in
this
North
Saturday,
Hills.
Next Saturday.
Sorry, a week from Saturday at Galpin Ford in North Hills. Now, Kevin, you're going to be at that.
Yep.
The Kevin fans want to come out and see you, right?
And K-Rock will be there with us.
let's try to get some people out, Bean.
Let's get throw the Bean fans in there, too, and maybe we'll get it like a group going.
Oh, Bean, I did. This is funny. I did run into somebody at Lollapalooza that said, I'm a Bean fan. And they just left it at that.
Yeah, that hurts. That happens to be in reverse, so I know
now.
What you're talking about.
Hey, come on. But this isn't really for me. It's really for the children.
It's for the kids.
And it's just amazing to see that this kind of support, when you see in the mother's eyes that she can provide this for her child. And it means so much more than the $10 than it means to you to give.
Yeah.
It means
so
much more to them to receive. So
back to school 2011. This is the time.
Yep.
Final thoughts, Melissa, before we send people to the websites to check it out.
You know, just remember every single person who's listening can remember going back and starting school at one point in their life and how good it felt and how exciting it was. We're going to give that same feeling to just over 5,000 children. And we just need your help, anything you can do. And if you work at the colored marker company or whatever you can do, anything.
Steal paper from work?
Steal stuff from work.
Right. I got that covered for you.
Thank you. And, you know, and if you have questions, and if you do have any questions, just shoot us an email. We'll get right back to you. And we just really appreciate your time and, you know, and that you're even listening. We really do appreciate it.
And every year, I would just like to say this in closing. Every single year that we come on and ask for help, it's overwhelming.
Yeah. The K-Rec listeners are awesome, amazing. Listeners.
And it really is unbelievable to just see people's generosity. They want to be generous. Sometimes they just don't know where or how or what. But they find something and they just say, I'm going to latch onto this and do it. And it's really, really, really rewarding for the people who end up giving the money.
Yeah.
So if you go to friendsandhelpers.org, that's the website. We also have it up at kevinandbee.com if you would like to.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in. You're a great guest.
Hey, thanks. What's your name again?
Let me tell you about tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show while we look ahead. Check this out. Ralph, your friend Kevin Smith, is going to be in studio talking about how people can see your movie Red State.
No.
He's not?
I think he is.
Oh, enough with that guy.
Oh.
Also, Adam Carolla is going to be on the program. We got Paramore stopping by tomorrow.
Really?
Oh, I love Paramore.
Dave is going to be almost impossible to live with tomorrow.
Where's Helly?
Is Dave going to put on that sweater that he considers being dressed up? You know, that sweater
probably,
that he wears.
The too-tight cardigan and the bow tie?
Exactly. That yes, look? With the bow tie, exactly. Yeah. Hi, Helly. It's me, Dave.
Oh, East Class Picture Day, so I put on my cardigan and my bow tie.
All of that tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie F. still to come today. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Fright Night. Happens on Tuesday, August the 16th. The movie's in theaters everywhere. Friday, August the 19th. For those of you who remember Fright Night the original, that was one of my favorite movies.
I don't think I do.
It's a great premise. It's about a kid who is sort of a sci-fi horror movie sort of buff fan. And some people move into his neighborhood next door, and he thinks they're vampires. Everybody thinks he's crazy. So he goes down to the local TV station, where this guy is a host of one of these horror creature feature kind of shows, you know? And he thinks because he shows all the vampire movies and everything, he knows how to handle these people. Turns out he does. He's actually a vampire hunter, sort of retired.
Wow.
And they team up together, and they take on these vampires. Great, great.
That sounds great.
Very entertaining, funny film. Roddy McDowell from the Planet of the Apes franchise, he starred as the vampire hunter. Very entertaining film. Zach Galligan, I think, from Gremlins was in the original. This time they're rebooting it with Colin Farrell, David Tennant, for you Doctor Who fans, if you know who that is. Anton Yelchin will play the young man who takes on the vampires. Great cast. Toni Collette also stars. If you'd like to attend, the first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First two callers win a pair of passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Fright Night. Bleh! I'm a vampire! I hope they have vampires like that in there.
Hope they don't.
Although Colin Farrell plays the vampire, I doubt he'll be doing that.
He looks like he plays it really funny.
Yeah, it is a sort of a dark comedy, and he's a very intense dude. I can see him as a vampire, absolutely.
Sure.
While we're talking about movies, it is Tuesday. That means new DVDs, CDs, and TV shows on DVD in stores today. If you'd like to pick up something new that you haven't seen, Paul, starring Simon Pegg and Seth Rogen as the voice of Paul, about the extraterrestrial, it gets picked up by Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. You can get that on DVD today.
Wasn't that in theaters about 6 weeks ago?
A little bit longer than that, but I know what you're saying. It's a recent release. They're coming to DVD quicker and quicker these days.
Yeah.
Your Highness, starring Danny McBride, Natalie Portman, and James Franco. Also available today. A movie called Jumping the Broom, starring Julie Bowen and Paula Patton, is available today as well. Super. I wanted to catch this in the theaters, and I didn't get a chance, and I'm so glad it's on DVD now. That was the dark comedy about a guy who takes it upon himself to become a real-life superhero. Rainn Wilson starred in the film. Ultra-violent sort of dark comedy. Ellen Page is also in that, along with Kevin Bacon and Liv Tyler. Mars Needs Moms, the animated classic, starring Joan Cusack and our buddy Seth Green. And while we're talking about animated classics, The Fox and the Hound from Disney is on as a 30th anniversary edition release. You can pick that up. New CDs, Watch the Throne by Jay-Z and Kanye West. I heard those guys aren't even like talking right now.
What?
Yeah.
They're getting ready to tour together.
I know, but apparently they're very different kinds of guys who
they are,
work in very different ways, and they've been getting ready for this tour, and now they're just like, you know what, let's just do the music and let's not socialize,
really?
Whatever.
Because they've been friends for a long time.
Apparently all this togetherness and trying to work on this project together has caused a rift
if you want to believe the sources.
Interesting. You know, that's funny, and I'm sure it's not for any of the same reasons, but remember when Jay-Z tried to do that tour with R. Kelly, and they had a conflict about the way the tour was going, and they ended up splitting up on a bunch of dates and canceling and everything? But the same thing, I don't know if it did or not, the same thing is already happening. They're already starting to cancel and postpone some of the dates from the fall tour till next year, so I wonder if this whole thing's going to happen or not.
Glee, the 3D concert movie soundtrack. What? Soundtrack is available today?
The movie's not out yet, though.
No, but you can get the soundtrack, you know, because they sing Journey, and they sing it in harmony.
Can't get that anywhere else.
Are these the same songs that were on the show?
Yes.
Okay.
But these are live, Kevin, because they're in concert.
I see.
And the CD is in 3D, apparently.
I see.
If you hold the 3D in your hand, it's as if it is actually in space.
Okay.
Yeah. Fascinating.
That'd be great.
And that's it. I'm getting bored of listening to these things. And I'm out of time, so let's move on. Well, I got one more story for you before we get to the celebrity birthdays. It looks like they are stacking the deck when it comes to the success of Two and a Half Men. Of course, Ashton Kutcher is taking over for Charlie Sheen on that program. And now they are adding another name. Who do you think is going to stop by as a little guest star with Ashton Kutcher?
Demi Moore.
Demi Moore, yes, exactly.
Yeah!
She will be joining her husband on the set. She was playing someone's love interest. That's all they'll say.
Hmm.
But they claim she won't be smooching it up with her husband on screen. So it looks like maybe John Cryer might be the lucky aficionado. Or maybe it's the kid, because she does like him young. Yeah. She does like him,
true.
Too. Maybe it's the half man.
He's growing up.
He is growing up. I bet there's
how old is that kid for reals, though? And at what point are they going to...
He's 32. He's 32.
I mean, aren't they going to have to just call it Three Men at some point? Is he going to be a grown man?
Look, he's a big boy, too. He could have been Three Men a couple seasons ago.
He's way bigger than John Cryer.
Yeah, he is. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anna Kendrick from Up in the Air and Twilight Films, 26 years old today. Thomas Lennon from Reno 911 is 41 years old today. Mick G, our buddy Mick G, who I know does listen to the show from time to time. So if you're listening, Mick, happy birthday. 43 years old today. Eric Bannis, 43. Gillian Anderson of X-Files, also 43. Whitney Houston's 48. Curtis Blow, legendary rapper, is 52. Melanie Griffith is 54. And Sam Elliott, the stranger from Big Lebowski, he is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So 5 seconds. Is that long enough to make a movie?
No. You know what's funny about that? It sounds... No. Here's the thing. It sounds like the shorter amount of time that you have to perform something, the easier it would be. So when people see Twitter, they go, 140 characters. I mean, how hard can that be? But to make a full thought...
You spend so much time shortening it and editing it.
Yes, it takes much longer to actually fit it into that shorter format.
It does.
Yeah, so you're right.
5 second films, not simple. Not an easy thing.
And it's the number 5secondfilms.com. That's the website. Michael Rousselet joins us on the phone. He is the spokesperson and director of 5 second Films. Hey, Michael, thanks for being on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This is amazing.
It's fun for us, and it's fun. We were just having a conversation right before we went to you on the air that we've all been enjoying the 5 second Films website for several months now. We've talked about it ad infinitum, off and on the air, yet for some reason, I don't know why, we've never had you on to discuss how the whole thing happened. But thank you again for joining us. This is awesome.
Oh,
so you did not create 5 second Films. That was your buddy Brian, right?
Yeah, Brian Ferenzi created it about 5 years ago or something. We met at film school, and the teacher was asking, what did you guys do this summer? And Brian said, I made a couple 5 second films. And I laughed. I'm like, what can you do in 5 seconds? That's ridiculous. And then he showed me some, and I was like, oh, my God, these are brilliant. Became fast friends and have been doing it for about 3 years now, a new film every Monday through Friday. 5 films a week, so, my God, I think we have like 750 films.
And by the way, that is so not easy. I mean, you've got to come up with days where you go, come on, it's only 5 seconds. How can we not do this?
Yeah. A new film every day is quite daunting, yeah, so sometimes.
Why did Brian come up with the idea originally?
I guess he wanted to see if he could do it. It'd, you know, be a fun exercise if he could tell a story in 5 seconds. And I was amazed, like, yeah, I guess you actually can tell a whole story, a whole arc and character in 5 seconds.
Well,
and if not, it could just be insane and random, which is also...
Yeah, and some of those are the funniest ones, and we're going to play some audio highlights of some of your films for in just a minute here. But it's the perfect time waster at work. I mean, if you've got 30 seconds that you're looking for something to do as a diversion, you can go and watch 2 or 3 movies. I mean, and I'm sure you hear that all the time from people who say it's my number one go-to when I've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, you know, you can play it and the boss would come by, and before the boss even knows what's going on, it's already gone.
Right.
A lot of them are not safe for work, so it should be this should be a warning. So just be careful. It is 5 seconds, but some of them do get a little wrong.
How did it happen that Patton Oswalt became such a huge fan and now is starring in some, including the one that's on your front page today?
Yes, Patton Oswalt. Oh God, we love Patton Oswalt. He found us on crack.com and tweeted about us, and you know it blew our mind. Patton is such a huge comedic idol to us. So yeah, we were just, oh my God, Patton Oswalt likes our films, and it was so validating. And we asked him, "Would you like to be in some?" He said, "In a heartbeat." And we're like, "Oh my God." So, yeah,
great. The one, in fact, it's interesting. I'm curious what the – is there any kind of a budget for these at all? Or are all the special effects, I guess, like the Patton Oswalt one, let's talk about that one that's up today. I mean, you see him in an outfit like he's Zeus or something, and he's got lightning bolts coming from his fingertips or whatever. You just do all that right there on your laptop, I bet, right?
Yeah. The special effects were done by Tim. I did it with basic Adobe After Effects and everything. And, yeah, no, there's no budget. It's all out of our pocket and, sell beer bottles and whatnot, try to scrape by. But, yeah, it's budget, 5 seconds.
What do you do? It doesn't sound like you do much. It's always somebody else. It's always like somebody else does the effects, somebody else comes up with the ideas. What?
Yeah, I sit around and I drink and I yell at people. Okay. Like, this is funny, do it.
No. All right, good.
There's about 10 or 11 of us that have been doing it regularly for the past 3 years. And, we're all a team. We do. We all write. We all direct. We all produce, and we all act.
Is this your full time job, Michael?
No. Nobody makes money off of the internet. You know that.
Well, true. I do. That was going to be one of my questions, of course. And it's the hardest thing in the world to do is to make money with a website, because the minute you start asking people to pay for it, they vanish. I mean, we all know that. But I mean, you do have ads. You have sponsors on the site. I mean, that's got to be probably just helping pay for the server costs, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's paying for the server. My web guy's going to kill me. Ben's going to kill me because I won't know the exact numbers. But we get something about 3 million hits a month. So
wow.
So with all the videos that are on there, kind of takes a bite out of the server, but the ads do help pay for some of that. So
sure. Now, do you show? Of course, I haven't seen. I've seen a handful, probably a couple of dozen, but you have hundreds now. Are there boobies in any of them? And could you direct me to those?
Boobies? No, not full on boobies.
Joining us. Bye bye.
No, working out. We need a bigger budget for those.
Look, a girl will take her top off just to be in show business. Come on. What are the clips you have here, Kevin?
I have planking. Tell us how this came about.
Oh, planking. Oh, man. How planking came about.
The movie, the 5 second.
Well, there was just this huge internet fad of people planking, and I hated it, and I just thought it was really stupid. So I said, hey, guys, I have this idea for planking, and I just kick you in the balls. And they're like, that's really stupid, Michael. And I was like, I know, I just really want to do it. Come on, let's just do it.
So here's the 5 second film of that.
Planking. It's really big on the internet. What you do? Make your body stiff as a board, see?
No!
That's it.
And by the way, do I have the information correct, Michael? That is your most viewed film on 5secondfilms.com?
One of the most viewed. I think our most viewed is actually Late for Work, which our buddy Adrian did, which is, I don't think you can play it on the radio.
No, I wish I had that one, yeah.
It's not safe for work. Everyone can relate to it because everyone's been late for work, and it's 5 seconds, and it's pretty hilarious.
I have a film permit. Tell us.
Oh, film permit, yes.
That's one of my favorites.
We made that with the Gang of Bellflower. Bellflower is this amazing indie film. It blew up at Sundance, and Oscilloscope Laboratories, which is actually MCA from the Beastie Boys production company, bought it, and they are distributing it nationwide. It's in L.A. and New York right now, and it'll go nationwide, but it's awesome. Check it out. We love the guys. So we had them come down and do a whole week of 5 second films to help promote their movies.
So it looks like they're on a set, and you got a couple of guys with blood on their shirts, and they're and some cops walk up and they say,
"Hey, you got a film permit?
Back to work."
So they actually shoot the cops with real bullets, and then they just go back to work.
Well, he's got a gun permit.
Of course.
Right, exactly.
And you guys are playing 5 second films on the radio.
I know. Look, we're trying to bring back the clips on the radio, and I don't know if it's working or not, but we're still.
Oh, it's working for me.
Okay, good.
You can put a whole story in.
How about Boys Can Be Unready Too?
Oh, this one's so awesome. This is like a public service announcement for the youth of America, right?
It looks like it was 1950s. You give it that look, but listen to this.
Black and white.
Todd, I don't think I'm ready to have sex.
What are you, a pussy?
you can't see the eagle, it's the looming American.
That's the awesome. Whole movie.
Now that Patton Oswalt is on board and is hilarious in your movies, you're going to, if you're not already, you're going to be hearing from other stars who are dying to be part of this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. It's, you know, we're pushing celebrities away, actually.
I have a feeling you're going to keep doing great with this, Michael. I'm so glad you had a chance to come on. Let me direct people to the website again. It is 5 Second Films, and that is the number 5. What will happen if somebody types out the word? Does that also go to the same place?
Because
you should have bought that one, too.
How do you not know that?
Hey, I'm just the guy who sits around and yells at
you. Do you work there?
Only when I'm sober.
Okay.
Exactly. And, Michael Rissolette, thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, guys. I'd like to give a plug, though. Sure. We're going to be at Holly Shorts Film Festival this Saturday on the 13th at the Sunset Lemley. You will see 7 minutes worth of 5 Second Films and a longer short. So if you guys are free Saturday, come down to Sunset Lemley.
Fantastic.
Cool.
There you go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, man. I love you all. This is an honor. Thank you so much.
Hey, party people, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up again later this hour. And speaking of the Showbiz Beat, we were talking earlier in the week about Daniel Craig, who is, of course, 007, James Bond. And he is recently married to a beautiful actress named Rachel Weisz. And they're starring in a movie together. So they meet and they fall desperately in love and they get married. Now, the part of the story that makes this interesting is that Daniel Craig had a live-in fiancée back home who he said goodbye to when he left to go film the movie and never spoke with her again. Now, according to the reports, she emailed, she texted, she called. He never responded to any of her attempts to get in touch with him.
Now, according to the article, too, he was supposed to come back that night. It wasn't like he was going to say, I'm going for 3 months to shoot a movie.
You're kidding.
No, he was supposed to.
I didn't hear that.
That night and just didn't show up. And then she couldn't figure out what was going on and where was he? Why wouldn't he? He wouldn't text.
Look,
wouldn't email.
He's Daniel Craig, but he's a giant douche, right?
Well, this is a giant douche move. No question about that.
My
yeah.
God.
And look, I'm sure his fiancée was lovely. Let's face it. Daniel Craig is not dating a wolf. But I'm telling you that he upgraded and decided on the spot, I'm not going back. I'm just burning my past life. And the reason the story made news, I guess, is because once she tried all these attempts to contact him, she then went out and spent over $1 million on his various credit cards to kind of get back to him. But I mean, how about a courtesy? Even a breakup by text would have been preferable to hearing nothing. If the reports are true, and who knows with the way the British papers operate, if the reports are true, she found out he was married the same way you found out he was married, which is saw it on the news.
I would never recover.
I am engaged to this man, and now I am watching CNN, and I am seeing that he just married someone else. News to me.
You would sit there and go, what?
Yes, you
about 100 times in a row. So we want to take your calls. You don't have to necessarily have been engaged, although that would be better. But boyfriend, girlfriend, got married. Hey, that's a surprise to me. I thought I was with you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I imagine this happens a lot with long-distance relationships. You know,
oh, yeah.
Somebody across the country, you haven't seen them in a little while, you haven't heard from them in a little while. And they got married, and you go, whoa. Shouldn't there be several levels of conversation between we're together and you got married to someone else?
Right. Like, hey, it's not working out. Hey, let's see other people. Hey, let's break up. I mean, it does seem like there should be some signposts. Now, Lisa, didn't this sort of happen to you once?
It did. I remember this. I've told this story before. I was dating that guy that was way older than me, mm-hmm. like 30 years older. Well, he actually got married while we were dating. And I wouldn't even have known. Like, I found out because I was driving to his house and I passed him.
Okay.
And so we both pulled over and I said, where are you going? I'm going to your house. And he said, yeah, I got to go get married. It's just a business real estate thing. But he ended up moving in with her and stuff. But I wouldn't even have known if I hadn't. Like, run into
him. If I'm that guy, I'm not pulling over, by the way. I am stepping on it.
Hitting the gas.
I am going as fast as I can to get away from you.
It was unbelievable.
So what did that do? I mean, did you just retrace your steps in the entire relationship to try to figure out how you could have missed the sign?
You have to doubt yourself.
Or were there no signs?
No, he was a liar from beginning to end. Like, one time he called and said he was at his dad's at the old folks' home. It was like Christmas Eve. And I just had this gut feeling. So I called his house. He answers the phone.
Nice.
He's like nowhere near.
It was a twisted relationship. Why didn't you break up with him?
I don't know. But when I finally did, I was so done. And he kept coming back and coming back. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, once you're done, now he wants. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other girl doesn't know he's coming back after you either.
No.
This is amazing. We've had these conversations many times where I can't believe I got broken up by text. I can't believe I got broken up by email. I can't believe. And we never thought that there would be no conversation had. Just you found out they got married. Who knows? Facebook status or whatever.
Yeah.
Changes to married. Hey. And you go, hey, that's,
aren't we dating?
I thought I was dating and now the Facebook changed the status has changed to married.
I would also like to know if someone has done that.
Sure, of course.
Like, absolutely.
I mean, you've been on that side of it? Where
either
you just,
side
for whatever reason, you could not tell them.
I mean, I don't know if she ended up getting married, but I've told this story before about the girl that I was dating. And we were 6 or 8 months into a relationship that was pretty steady. And all of a sudden, it was just like in the Daniel Craig story, except I was, you know, the jilted woman. I wasn't getting any phone calls returned. And so I went to where she works and I said, hey, what's going on? Her name was Rebecca. I said, what's going on with Rebecca? I haven't seen her around for, you know, a few days here. I can't get in touch with her. Is she okay? Is she sick? What's happening? Oh, she moved to Brazil.
Moved to Brazil?
Now,
that's a long way to go to get away from you.
And I did later get independent confirmation that it wasn't just a line to get me away. She really did move to Brazil. But that, I don't know. Again, if you're dating someone for more than
six or eight months,
might be worth a mention. Hey, I'm not going to be able to see you anymore. I'm moving to Brazil. Hey, I'm, you know, I'm living in South America, so we have to break up something. But I mean, that's how I found out from somebody else. So who knows? Maybe there was another guy. Maybe she ran off and got married too, and I never found out that part of it.
And maybe she just wanted to get away from you, and that's how far she wanted to go.
She had to go that far. Yeah. So she knew
I was like, I could move to another state, but he could probably find me. I'm going to South America.
Maybe so. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to find, but the Kevin and Bean listeners have been through almost every kind of hell. So 1-800-520-1067. That is our telephone number. You were dating somebody and then they married somebody else. We want to hear your stories. Or even better, if you've done it, we want to find out why. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is going to be fun. 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about people who are dating someone and then they find out the other person ran off and got married. Now, hopefully they tell you about it. But that wasn't the case with Daniel Craig's fiance when he ran off and married actress Rachel Weisz. Why don't we start with Kara? She's on line one. Lisa, she did this.
Huh,
she did this to a guy she was dating. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Kara!
I did it. There's no excuse.
What happened? How does this happen? How does he not get a courtesy phone call ahead of time or something?
Well, no, he did. I met this guy. He was so great. We decided to get married. And as we're running into the courthouse, I said, you know, I have to make a phone call really quickly. So I called my boyfriend of almost 2 years and told him that, you know, he was great, but it wasn't really going anywhere.
Boyfriend of 2 years. First of all,
and you called him minutes before you married somebody else.
I was on the steps of the courthouse.
When did you meet that guy that you married?
7 days prior.
A week ahead.
And how did that work out for you two?
Actually, we were married for 5 years. We have a beautiful daughter. We're great friends. We're not married anymore, which is a good thing. But it didn't end horribly.
No, it sounds like it worked out.
It's as good as mine.
How did the phone call go?
It was awkward. He was really confused, and unfortunately, I only had a few seconds to talk.
Hey, I don't have time to talk. I got to go get married.
Yeah, what was really awkward was that we worked together, so I basically had to walk away from my job as well.
Your story has everything.
That's unbelievable.
Plus, you were pregnant.
I have to ask, although it's completely irrelevant to this story, I have to ask, how long after you met this guy that you married inside of a week, how long after you met him did you guys have sex for the first time?
8 days.
Liar.
Oh, you didn't get married? You didn't have sex till you got married?
She's lying.
Yeah, you had sex first night and said, this guy is so awesome, I have to marry him immediately.
It wasn't the first night, but it was maybe night 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you got married three more nights after that.
I never went home, so.
How about
that? She's lying.
Wow. Well, she might be. Kara, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that.
Bye.
All right, let's talk about Angie. She's on line three. Better than that, let's talk to Angie. She's on line three. Wait till you hear how she found out that her boyfriend had gotten married. Hi, Angie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
What happened?
Well, I was dating a guy who actually, Bean, you'll love this. He works for the Pentagon.
The Pentagon?
Wow. Okay.
So all right. He disappeared for weeks at a time, and I couldn't question where he was.
Oh, sweet. And he'd say, oh, yeah, I can't tell you, honey.
Exactly. He'd be like, oh, I miss you. I've got to be around more. But then I had done some website work for him, and I had a Google alert on his name, and it popped up that he was registered to get married. And this is after he asked me out for another date.
Sweet. So he was trying to continue it after he already registered to get married to somebody else?
That's correct.
What is wrong with what is going through someone like that's mind? Is he just afraid to tell you, or...
He sure didn't act afraid last time I saw him.
No, he wasn't afraid to tell her because he kept trying to date her. I mean, if you were afraid to tell her, you'd just disappear, period. Yeah,
disappear, right.
That's crazy.
I texted him when I found out. I just texted him, congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. And he didn't answer me till the next day. And he's like, oh, I wanted to tell you next time I saw you.
Right, but whenever I'd rather you found out on Google. Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Angie. Appreciate the call very much. Wow, these are awesome. Let's talk to Addison. She's got a military connection to her story, and I have a feeling a lot of them do because you're away from each other a while. Addison, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
Well, we were together for about 7 months, and then he ended up getting stationed in North Carolina, and so we stayed together. We stayed communicating constantly for the next 3 months, and he came home on leave without telling me and married his high school girlfriend, and my brother was in the wedding, and I found out when my brother showed me pictures.
What? Your own brother?
Did your brother not know that this guy was still dating you?
No, he knew. It's my brother's best friend all throughout. They grew up neighbors, all that stuff.
So
I've known him for my entire life.
Oh. Why didn't your brother give you a heads up that this dude was getting married?
Bros,
why'd you find out
hoes?
Afterwards? Well, I guess
does that
that's
include
the answer,
your
right?
family?
Yep. My whole family
man.
Was at the wedding.
Wow.
Oh, Addison,
no
that's
one
rough.
Likes you.
We stayed together for 3 months, and then he tried to get back together with me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and how well received was that?
Not well at all.
Not so much. All right. Thank you for the call. Wow. Do we have time for one more?
Better than I thought, yeah.
You want to go to, who do you want to go to? We got just one more.
Let's get Linda. Perhaps. We have a Vegas story. That's understandable. That happens
sure. In
a night. And we have an Iraqi veteran story, which is sad. And I'm sure that happens a lot, too. Linda, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you about the guy I found out. I read it in the newspaper.
You read it in the newspaper?
Wedding announcement. Love it.
No, not wedding announcement. Even better. He was Officer of the Month in the local newspaper.
Okay.
And they described that, you know, why he was selected as Police Officer of the Month. And the last sentence said, and he was recently married.
Now, how long had you been dating him?
About 6 months.
6 months. And you had no clue that he was, A, seeing somebody else, but, B, married to someone else.
Correct. All he told me, though, he was going away for a week, which was his honeymoon.
Sweet.
When he came back, he gave me a call, and I'm like, yeah, come on over. And then I just congratulated him and said, let me see your hand.
Oh, so you already knew when you told him to come on over?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a. Wow. And so what? How surprised was he that you had found out?
Very.
Well, he's a dumbass. Hey, stop that. He's a dumbass. If there's an article in the paper, did he not know that?
Well, he didn't put the article.
Well, I know, but didn't he know? Didn't a friend tell him, "Hey, by the way, you're in the paper," or anything?
I don't think he knew.
Sweet.
Yeah. Linda, was his intention to just keep seeing you?
I think so. Because, I mean, he was telling me, oh, I'll end it. And I'm like, you just got married.
Why does a guy like that get married? Why did he marry this other woman?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Because you couldn't talk on the phone without pressing the numbers?
Because you kept pressing the buttons on the phone.
It just drove him crazy. He had to get out of there.
That was annoying.
How do you know if you're an 89er? Simple. Come into any participating Circle K and get any size Thirst Buster in the new No Sweat Cup for just 89 cents. If you enjoy it, then you're an 89er. Welcome to the team.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to be an 89er so much.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah. What just happened?
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock
Come
Traffic.
On. It's the world famous K-Rock at 751.
Oh, sweet Lord in heaven.
Funny man Eddie Ift joins us next on the Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour. Now Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat.
Good news. The Kardashians' new line of clothing for Sears goes on sale this week.
All right.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to going to Sears to shop for Kardashian clothes, aren't we?
Well, Sears is where I do my clothes shopping.
Well, I can tell just by looking at you. The collection of clothes apparently is curve-hugging animal prints.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chloe put on one of those animal prints. She was shot out in the wild. Thought you shouldn't wear that moose print. That's a dead giveaway. Tight mini dresses, cutouts, jumpsuits, and sexy lingerie are among the 40 or so items for sale. None of these items cost more than $70, so Sears is the place to go to get your whore clothes from the Kardashians.
I like it.
Sounds
all
like it.
All leopard prints and mini dresses.
They should call it the whore line.
The whore line, they yeah. should.
But the beautiful thing is they have an entire range of sizes. I mean, the small Courtney ones all the way up to the big Chloe ones. Whatever your size is, they got something for you.
That's right. Chloe's clothes are actually made by the people who make Craftsman tools there for Sears. So they're sturdy. That's all you need to know. They're going to last. ABC says a pilot is in the works based on the Matthew McConaughey film The Lincoln Lawyer. They're going to do a TV version of The Lincoln Lawyer. Thank God, because I was left at the end of that film saying, I wish I could stay, I could live with this character forever.
I
didn't see The Lincoln Lawyer.
I did, and it was good.
I heard it was pretty good.
It was one of those, it's a concept, depending on if it's in the right hands, it'll be fine.
He has a legal office in the back of his Lincoln.
Well, he's not exactly...
he drives around, and that's how he does his work. It's out of his car.
It's not exactly on the up and up.
Oh, I see.
Works for some criminal types.
But other than that, other than working out of the back of his car, is it still just a regular legal drama? He still goes into court and does cases and all that stuff?
Yeah, just he doesn't play by all the rules.
He sure does his business out of the back of a car.
He does that.
I know that much.
And he has meetings in the back of his car. He rolls down the window.
Oh, Hollywood, get this series on the air as quickly as possible.
He talks to the Hell's Angels guys, and they tell him what they need.
I'm sure they do.
That's how it works.
Congratulations to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. They're now in the record books after passing the Lord of the Rings Return of the King at the box office. Deathly Hallows is now the third highest grossing film of all time worldwide. $1.14 billion in box office sales.
Crazy.
It's unlikely it'll get higher than number two.
Why? What's the difference?
Well,
$1.4 billion.
Yeah, they still have a ways to go to beat Titanic, which is $1.8 billion.
Another half a billion.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And then number one, of course, is Avatar with $2.8 billion worldwide.
I had no idea it did that much.
Yeah, so it's likely it's just going to plateau here at number three, which is still not too shabby.
Third of all time, I think they would live with.
Third is acceptable. And while we're talking about movies we need to see. Yes, finally, they're showing some common sense, and they're remaking Dirty Dancing.
All right.
The movie Dirty Dancing's coming back to a screen near you. Kenny Ortega, who was the choreographer in the original film, he will be directing it. And nothing is better than a choreographer turned movie director, in my opinion. That's how you get the classics made.
He's the guy who did, if I'm remembering the name correctly, the guy who did the Michael Jackson This Is It movie, too,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he is. I believe he was also the choreographer on Footloose, the motion picture. So he does have a history with dance and film.
What year was Dirty Dancing? Late 80s, Ralph?
Oh, I'd have to say early. No, 87. 87 is what I would say. I'm guessing 87, but I think it's right around there. Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey, of course, made them stars. And the movie is a nostalgic look back at the Catskill Mountains in the 50s and early 60s. Which America is just demanding more.
Yeah. Must have more.
Ow!
Wow!
Loudest camera ever!
That photographer is right in your face,
it
Ralph.
Sure is.
Hey, back off!
By the way, Casey, who works here in the dungeon of the Kevin Abid Show with her finger on the button, reminds me that Kenny Ortega also directed the great Newsies. So we got that
Newsies
pedigree to look forward to.
He brought us Christian Bale, a young Christian Bale.
He did.
And Weird Al Yankovic announced that.
Yes.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
Weird Al. I probably know it, right?
Yes. Has announced his first televised concert in more than 10 years will be aired on Comedy Central.
Well, that's cool.
The Alpocalypse tour was filmed on his current tour in support of his latest album, of course, Alpocalypse, and it's going to be aired on October the 4th. They're going to have a special of his live performance, so you Weird Al fans will get to see the man live on TV if you missed him in a local venue near you.
It sounds silly and a little light and like it wouldn't be much. It's a pretty good show.
I've never seen it.
Great show.
He really puts a lot of effort into everything.
Our man Omar here saw Weird Al live, and he said it was one of the most entertaining live shows he had ever seen.
Shocking.
Al just packs it with comedy and music from beginning to end, apparently.
Videos.
Costume changes and special effects and everything. So you got it all.
He who is tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
Isn't that true? And this is a nice story. Artwork by Michael Jackson will be on the walls of the Children's Hospital here in Los Angeles. His mother, Catherine, and his three children, Prince, Paris, and Blanket, were at the hospital yesterday to unveil 12 sketches that were drawn and signed by Michael, along with a photographed portrait of him. And all the artwork will line the halls of the hospital in order to bring some joy into their lives, says Latoya and Catherine. Doctors say they appreciate the gift. However, children will not be let alone with the artwork by Michael Jackson. Be someone there present, and I think that's probably a smart
It's people
idea.
With a dirty mind that think like that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Sam Elliott, one of my favorites. You ever see Tombstone? One of my favorite westerns of all time, Tombstone.
I heard it was good, though.
He was one of the Earp brothers. It was him and Kurt Russell and Bill Paxton. Yeah, that was good. Good stuff.
The problem is, though, even though it's a great movie, Kevin didn't see it when it was brand new.
So he'll never see it. Yeah.
He is unable now to go back and see it because he missed it.
He's got a short window.
He's got time.
He's got a short cinematic window.
You have to see it within the first 2 months of its release. Otherwise, you can never see it the rest of your
life. I'll give you a perfect example. Every week, there's a new movie that comes out that I want to go see. So I, Captain America.
Yes.
I was sick that weekend.
Oh, no.
Throwing up the whole weekend. So
you'll never see it now.
I haven't had time.
Poor Captain America lost his Kevin window.
I really want to.
You can't because it's too old now. Now it sucks.
If nothing comes out this weekend that's good, then I'll go see it.
But doesn't Captain America suck, though, if it's like more than two months old? Because it's old.
It's only like 3 weeks old.
Kevin treats movies like most people treat milk.
Right, exactly.
It's got a very short shelf life. He checks the expiration, he sniffs it, and no, this isn't for me. He's going to get some new stuff.
I was going to see Green Lantern, but God, what was that? Was that like June?
Is that even in color?
I don't know. All those actors are dead now. What's the point?
I saw Green Lantern.
Melody Griffith is 54 years old today. Curtis Blow celebrates his 52nd birthday. Whitney Houston, 48.
Oh, rough 48.
Rough-looking 48.
It's funny. As the steward of the bell, I was thinking there were several years where Whitney Houston not only would have gotten the bell, it would have been an unbelievably enthusiastic bell. She was one of the most beautiful women in the world for a few years.
Yes.
Let's not get crazy. I don't know. Unbelievable.
She was stunning. Look at her. 21 years old,
Bellworthy.
Kevin. Come on.
Bellworthy, yeah.
No. A model. But now, rough.
Yeah. Well, crack is whack.
Yeah,
crack is whack.
And that trumps black don't crack.
That's true.
Because right. Crack will crack black, Jack.
True.
All true. Gillian Anderson's 43 years old today. She of X-Files fame. Eric Bana, 43 years old. McGee is 43 as well. Thomas Lennon from Reno 911 is 41 years old. And Anna Kendrick from Up in the Sky, one of my favorite films. She is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, this is comedian Eddie
M. I was peeling the label off a bottle, and she said, "That means you're sexually frustrated." No, I'm not. I just don't want to get the label dirty when I shove the...
I know you're looking at me, and no, I don't smoke pot. I just eat it, and my sex drive's gone. My girlfriend's young. She comes home, she's like, "I want to seven times tonight." I'm like, "I got to call six friends." My girlfriend is in America, so she's not going to get to see this. So I was in a strip club last night. The stripper said to me, I'm sitting there, and she goes, "You have bad breath." And I was like, "You have a bad life."
He is one of the funniest guys you can see in concert, and you can see him in concert. When is it, Eddie? Is it?
I'm there. I'm tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Start. I'm in San Francisco at the Punchline.
Oh, fantastic. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Eddie Ift on stage at the Punchline Comedy Club, San Francisco. It's punchlinecomedyclub.com. And, of course, you can hear Eddie all the time, as Kevin has with the podcast with you and Jim Jefferies. By the way, I wanted to ask you, I know we got a lot of ground to cover here.
Yes.
You tweeted something about, and I don't know who she is, some guest you had on your podcast recently who looks like an unbelievably hot Asian. Who am I not knowing about?
Kehlani Lay. She is,
who is she?
She's a porn star that I had on the show because we had a porn star.
Yes.
I don't even like to have them. Jim likes to have porn stars on the show.
You don't like it at all.
And yeah, because it's tempting.
Yeah.
And we had Caden Cross on, who ended up walking off the show.
Why?
Caden, sense
of humor?
Yeah. Well, Jim asked her a question. At one point, he said, "How did you get into porn?" And she goes, "You know, that's a really cliche question." And I've been asked that like three times today. And I go, "Yeah, Jim, why don't you ask her something a little more original, like which uncle caused her to get into porn?" and then she said, I said, "Do you ever get recognized in the street?" And she, Jim said, yeah, she does, usually when she's eating yogurt and it's falling out of her mouth. And at one point I looked at her and I go, you're not having fun, are you?
Oh,
she walked off the show, and the next day her publicist called us and the company called us and a lawyer called, and they said, you guys were so abusive to Caden and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, she felt like you were rude. And I'm like, this is a girl who does gangbangs.
Right. You know, like, what does she expect going on a podcast with two comedians?
And you're comedians.
Yeah. So
they didn't try to ask you to take down the podcast or anything, did they?
No. We've had that happen. But we then brought on Kehlani Lay because I knew her through Brian Callen, was friends with her. And I asked her to come on because I knew she was fun. And she's also like 4'11". Oh, and she has had sex with Mandingo. Who is?
Oh my God!
His junk is 4'11".
Wow! He had to have broken her.
That's what we kept saying to her, and I was like, "Didn't that damage you?" And at one point, Jim said, "Did a dingo make it that you couldn't have a baby?"
I need to hear that podcast. Is that one up now?
That
is that one available
right now? Yeah, yeah. That's I can't say the name of our show, but it's Jim Jeffries and Eddie Ift. So she's really cool. She's really fun, really nice,
and hot, so hot.
Yeah, really pretty, and just fun. Like, you know, she's the kind of, if she came on and didn't even talk about porn, she's like really funny and nice. So I liked having her on.
We've had we've been lucky in this job, and you know, maybe sometimes we have them on just you know, just for us, screw the audience. But we've had a lot of the ladies of the adult industry on over the years, and in general, they have a really good sense of humor. You can make those jokes; they make those jokes themselves. They have to you know, mask the pain they're in. But I was just surprised to hear the story that you told about, because the stuff you were explaining is very, very funny. I mean, that's got to be a more entertaining interview than most that she does,
and relatively tame.
I couldn't believe it happened, but I had to, you know, I live with Jim Jeffries, and that morning I got all these phone calls, and I woke him up. I go, "We're in trouble." He's like, what happened?
Now
I go, the porn industry's mad at us. And he goes, like they've ever sold me a ticket.
Now, why did you say you're nervous about her? You don't like having him on because it's tempting for you? Or you have a girlfriend or something?
Yeah,
and that's why it's not a good idea to have
I've got a girlfriend, and it can get a little crazy, especially on our show because it's in our house. And
that's what I was wondering. You got to explain to the girlfriend that she's coming over,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was bad enough when we had Andy Dick and he wouldn't leave.
Did he stay for like 3 days?
Yeah. But it gets like that all the time there. So, you know, Jim wants to do the... Jim's a little out of control.
You think?
Yeah. And he wants to do this thing called... I don't know if I can talk about it on here, but let's try to... he wants to have a game where we bring three prostitutes to the house, two female, one male, and we have a box...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I like where this is going.
Yeah. And there's three different places where we all have to go, and none of us know which one had which. Yeah.
Wow. And,
well, basically, we're doing it because Jason, the sidekick on the show, who was like our dog walking pothead,
right?
We're gonna trick him and make him. You know, he's the one that gets gets screwed on it. So he will not do it. He's like, I refuse. And we're like, Jason, you're going to see them all go in. You're going to know. We're none of us are going to know. Blah, blah. He's like, I know you're going to trick me. Yeah. I know. So I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
So he never did. He's a smart guy then.
Yeah. But just Jim just wants to push it every day. And I'm like,
of course.
Hey, please, Jim. I have a family. I've got a mother that she doesn't listen, but she's 73 and this could kill her. Please.
If she listened once.
If my mom listened once, I wouldn't be part of the family.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Or
really,
she would drop dead, and you would inherit her.
By the way, you were serious when you said that.
Oh, I'm totally serious. I grew up like really Catholic, and really Catholic. I was even molested. And
you're the most Catholic there is.
That's a joke, though. No. But my mother would. If she knew how to work iTunes, I'd be dead.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Were they not pleased with your plan to go into comedy then, especially the kind of comedy you do?
No, it was awful.
No support.
I was working for my dad right at like the end of college when I was starting comedy, and I was going out, sneaking out at night and doing stand-up. And I have the same name as my dad. Like, I'm Eddie Ift III.
Right.
Oh.
And so they would put in the newspaper at the Funny Bone tonight, Eddie Ift. And
right.
My dad runs, like, an insurance business. Like, he sells insurance. And people were calling him on the phone, you know, about their death benefit and going, are you doing comedy?
Are you doing some stand-up
And my dad kept going, I don't know what you're talking about. So finally he confronted me about it. And it was like I was coming out of the closet. I had to sit him down and tell him that I was like, Dad, I have some, have something to tell you. I'm doing stand-up comedy. And he was like, why couldn't you just be gay?
But now that you are well-known, is it difficult for him to have that name and run into people?
Yeah, why would... If you're trying to sneak out to a comedy club and you have the same name as your dad...
I don't know a stage name. I should have switched it.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm an idiot, and I should have switched it. But, you know, my dad's kind of like the football kind of, you know, military guy that... And so this was just the weirdest thing for him.
Sure.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, no parent would be pleased with that news, but particularly a guy with that background. Yeah. All right. Eddie Ift is here. We got to take a break, but please go see him at the Punchline Comedy Club. And that's the website, too, to buy tickets at the Punchline Comedy Club in San Francisco starting tomorrow night and through Saturday. By the way, you can follow Eddie on Twitter at Eddie Ift, and the website is eddieift.com. More with our guest after this on the Kevin. Funny man, Eddie Ift. Do you like the word funny man?
I don't care. I'll take anything.
Comedian Eddie Ift. In studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him live on stage tomorrow night at the fabulous Punchline Comedy Club in San Francisco. That's going to be August 10th. That's tomorrow night through Saturday, August 13th. Go to punchlinecomedyclub.com. I'm so excited about what we're about to share with you, Eddie, because I know that you are, like us, a big reality TV show fan. You didn't hear about this show.
He doesn't like a lot of the crappy ones, but we got the good ones.
I like anything where anyone gets hurt physically or mentally.
Okay. Well, this isn't Fear Factor, but let's see what you think about this. We talked about this on yesterday's Kevin Beach Show.
These are the faces of warriors. They're dedicated, determined, ready for battle. They are America's Beardsmen.
My name is Phil Olson. I'm the founder and self-appointed captain of Beard Team USA.
Okay, so what they are is beard competitive team. Bearders, Eddie.
Beard Team USA.
Grow facial hair. That's what they do.
You have a beard? Maybe you can compete. But these are guys that have like immaculately
like a ZZ Top beard.
Yeah. And sometimes they have the mustaches and all that stuff. They've got a freestyle category.
These are guys that haven't had oral sex in a long time.
Or given it.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's so fun because they take it so seriously.
They do. They have these international competitions where they smack talk, and they've got people that they hate, and they call it a sport. And this one guy's written a book about the facial hair handbook, and everybody hates him because he sold out. Because now it's not pure. I mean, it's just insane. It's insane. You would love it so much.
What channel is it on?
IFC.
Independent Film Channel.
I cannot wait to watch this.
I think it's on Sunday nights.
You were talking about Hoarders when you came in.
I like Hoarders. My favorite reality show of all time, though, that you need to see, it never aired in America, and it crushes me that it didn't. It was called There's Something About Miriam. Do you know about the show?
No.
It was basically, you can watch a YouTube clip of the final. It's The Bachelor. The Bachelorette. Is The Bachelorette's where the girl tries 50 men vie for the love of the beautiful woman?
I think so, yeah.
She has sex with like 30 of them during the course of the broadcast.
Yeah, it's the same exact show, but this woman happens to have a penis.
Okay.
That's the bad surprise.
Do they know it or not? They don't find out till the end.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was the most unbelievable show I've ever seen.
Where?
It's called. I think it was a British show.
British.
And it was called There's Something About Miriam. And the final scene is amazing where she picks out of the three guys which one she's going to get on the boat and go to the cruise with, you know, and they're going to live happily ever after.
Right.
And she gives the speech where she goes, I have something to tell you. Oh. And not only does she drop the bomb, but she dramatically draws it out.
Oh.
Where they're all sitting there and she goes, yes, I am a model. Yes, I am Mexican. But I am not. Here she goes, I was born a man. And it's just like, oh. And the other two guys that lost start laughing.
Sure, because they don't have to go away with her.
They dodged that bullet. Yeah, but they also were with her kind of throughout the show. So it's...
That sounds awesome.
But I think what happened, the guys ended up like suing and getting like $250,000 each, and they never aired the show or something.
Is that right?
Oh, really? Yeah. Because they said it was unfair and it gave them nightmares or whatever?
Yeah.
But I mean, they make out with them on the show, right? I mean, they were making out with this person probably a lot leading up to. Like they go on dates together.
Put it this way. If you were on that show and you were one of those guys, you'd end up living with Casey Anthony right now.
Yeah.
You would have to be in the witness protection plan.
That's awesome. What about repo games? That's another one of our favorites. Have you seen that one where you go and
I've
you try
heard
to?
Heard about this? This is
it's a game show. But what's fascinating about it is half the people don't believe they're really on a game show. They're pissed that their truck is about to be repossessed, and it's almost always a truck. And then the pressure is on, and they can't answer the most simple questions to try to win the money to pay off their car. It's awesome.
Well, I'm amazed by these people that get these cars, because I went to a car dealership one time. I saw this unbelievable deal on a car, and I drove. It was pretty close. It was like in Hawthorne or something, and I went down to the place to buy it. And I sit down with the guy, and he knew me from comedy, and he's like, oh, yeah. So we start driving around, and I'm like, what's the deal? This truck's too cheap. It turned out it was one of those trucks that was like in a flood in New Orleans or something and didn't have a title or whatever. And they weren't going to tell me, but because he's like, yeah, I'll tell you. Here's the deal. And I said, but I told him my credit, and he's like, that's amazing credit. I'm like, no, it's not that good.
It's pretty bad.
And he goes, you should see the credit we see here, like 460, you know, like the lowest credit you've ever heard. And he goes, what we do is basically here is we give them credit. They get the car, but we put a low jack on it. They don't make their first payment. They put a down payment, which is massive. They don't make their first payment, and they go get it.
Wow.
And it's God. Yeah, and they just go right back and get it. So
I hope they took your car.
He goes, all we do, if you buy a car here, we need the names and addresses and phone numbers of 10 relatives.
You want to turn in your own family?
Are you kidding?
Just so they can find the car you bought, because they know you're not keeping it at your house.
That's awesome. Doesn't that make me? I guess it wouldn't make these people suspicious, because they're desperate at this point to buy a car. They'll give them anything, right?
They've never heard the word "you've got credit."
that's great. And it's so funny, because I hear those car commercials all the time where they go, you know, we'll finance anybody. And I'm thinking, how is that possible to finance anybody? That's a terrible risk. They've figured out a way to make money off of it.
Yeah, we're going
to
finance it. We're going to put a low jack on it and a big X on the roof so we can track you with a helicopter.
And then they just take a down payment and then repo it and then sell it.
That's great.
That's just so awful.
Eddie F. is here. We got to take one more break. We'll come back with more with Eddie. Please go see him at the Punchline Comedy Club, San Francisco, starting tomorrow night, punchlinecomedyclub.com. We'll be back on the Kevin Abeen Show. Eddie F. in studio with us here on the Kevin Abeen Show, appearing in San Francisco at the Punchline Comedy Club tomorrow night through Saturday night. Eddie, every comedian that comes up in the conversation with you, you seem to be friends with. I mean, I know it's a fraternity and you guys all hang out like, you know, lots of people in the same occupation. You know everybody.
Yeah, I just don't mention the ones that don't like me. There's a few out there that
that's
I don't get
her,
wrong.
That's the Miriam?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
Miriam.
Look at it. Yeah, somebody, a listener sent us a video of the show you were talking about the reveal of the transgender model on a British TV show, I guess, where she tells the guys who have all been vying for her attention for 3 weeks that she's actually
I'm just
got
looking
a penis.
At a photo. I would buy that in a second.
Yeah. I sent you the link too. You got to see.
I still might.
But here's the question.
We could have a waist up relationship.
Wow.
Here's the question I have, Eddie, and I don't know why I think you would know the answer to this, but somebody like that who's a smart, beautiful, articulate he/she, why don't they just go, you know, get that last surgery and get rid of the penis? It seems like that's all that's missing there.
You know,
like, why wouldn't they finish? I mean, are there people who?
It's probably like hoarders. You know, they just like to keep
they
things.
They want it all. They want both.
But, I mean, it just seems, I mean, are there people who that's what they want to be is, you know, like a mermaid, like woman on top and horse on bottom? I mean, what's the deal?
I don't know.
Or centaur. I guess that'd be a centaur, not a mermaid.
I don't know. I've run into these people on occasion, and I find it very interesting.
You dated one in Vegas, you were telling
me. I met a girl in Vegas one night who said to me, I said, you're really pretty. And she said, you're not bad yourself. And then she said, let's meet up, and we never got to meet up. And I called her. She blew me. I said, why'd you blow me off? And she said, you seem like a really nice guy, but I should tell you, I'm not a woman. And I was like, thank you so much, because I would have really pushed this.
That's going to be a tough life, because everyone you tell that pretty much. You know,
I'm sure there's guys really into it.
Maybe,
though.
But
I'm sure there's a whole faction of society that likes that stuff.
Sure.
We did a story early in the show yesterday, Eddie, a true story out of India about a woman who was living with her fiancé. They were getting they had gotten married, right, Kevin? If I remember correctly, they had gotten married, but he still would not consummate the relationship. And she eventually got frustrated with that and burst into the bathroom, you know, pushed the door open while he was taking a bath. And that's how he found out that she was a woman.
Like they had already been married.
They had already been married. Yeah. That she was a man. Yes. Yeah. No, she thought he was a man. He turned out to be a woman.
Oh, I see. Right,
that's
right,
what it was. And it turned out that it was a fraud thing. He had married her because her family was offering a huge dowry of cars and money and things like that. And that's why he did it.
Wow.
Because, and she lived with this person for a year and did not know the person's sex. So that makes you in one night in Vegas not look so bad.
Yeah. Well, there was also a night in Thailand.
Anything you want to tell us about Thailand?
Miami, and then another night and a few nights in Paris.
You seem to be attracted to that type.
Me, no, they like
and
me.
And you're going to San Francisco today, so that's perfect.
Yeah, I'll be hanging out down at the Castro. That'll be...
You've got a bunch of you're going back to Australia too.
Yeah,
your second home.
Yeah, and I'm taking my Adam's apple measure with me. I'm going to Australia in November. If I can, I'm having difficulty flying lately.
Why?
I think after 15 years of getting on, to me it's like a cylindrical jail cell.
Right.
Like, cause you,
you're just so tired of it.
Yeah, I'm just tired of having to sit upright and my neck, you know, hurts all the time. Like, and you breathe that recycled air and eat that horrendous food. I've thought about it. The prisoners in Guantanamo Bay are treated better than airline passengers. If we put them through what our passengers go through, there'd be like...
They would tell us everything.
Yeah, everybody would say, this is against the Geneva Convention. You can't make them eat this. You cannot make these prisoners eat this.
And we pay for it and then wait in line.
Yeah, yeah. And I
don't know if you've noticed, but the searches, they've stepped up the searches. The hand pat-downs.
Oh, but I like that.
That's like soft core now.
I always, as soon as they do that to me, I go, ooh! Can you get me a towel?
I must love that. That's awesome. All right. Well, before we lose him to Down Under, you have one more chance to see Eddie Ift at the Punchline Comedy Club San Francisco tomorrow night through Saturday. And please check out Eddie's podcast with his good friend and roommate, Jim Jeffries. Just do a search for those guys with the word podcast. I can't say the name of it. Still the most ill-advised title in show business, by the way, is a name you can't promote.
It's talking crap with the dirtier word.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. So there you go. Eddie, great to have you on the show.
Thanks
for coming by.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:54.
Coming up after the top of the hour, Ralph Garman has clips from a recent interview given by the creepiest married couple in the world. Am I right about that, Ralph?
The best married couple in the world. The only couple that is truly in love and really gets it.
Now, this is not like you people with your sham marriages.
He's 51, she's 16.
Yeah,
that's where we're starting with
these two. Love that transcends time and space.
Does she also play with his grandchildren? Did they say that in the interview? Or?
You know what?
She is young.
They're more than just a number. People are more than just numbers.
Not these two.
Oh, you don't get it. They have set the world on fire with their love.
I can't wait to hear about it.
She's quite an entertainer herself, and of course, he's been on lots of TV shows.
That's an actual quote from their interview.
What?
Really?
That they've set the world on fire with their love.
Fantastic. So that's coming up. Also, why are the handicapped bad? We'll talk about that next half hour.
That is the question.
First, though, time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Don't just ignore us like we didn't say you're bad. You are bad.
Bean says stuff like that all the time and just runs right on. No one doesn't even care. People think he don't know he's joking.
I just want to see like people come up with them with those polio walker canes and, with wheelchairs and whatever it takes. Guard, you know, blind leading the dogs, you know, the
blind seeing eye dogs, right?
Seeing eye dogs,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And I want to see him rise up like zombies. And I just want to see him surround Bean and then just beat him to death. That'd be the greatest
Canes
thing
and
ever.
And
yeah. I'm throwing hearing aids at him. Just any handicap whatsoever. Just them surrounding him. And then he just disappears in a sea of humanity.
Nope.
You just see him. Just DJ Taint just going down for the last
but not
count.
To death. Only so that he's
just
handicapped.
To the pain?
Only yeah, so he's handicapped.
Right. That'd be the best.
Paralyzed or something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Imagine. Oh, Bean would love that. Oh. He's practically paralyzed now. They say that an official reason not to move off his couch.
It's a voluntary.
Nope. Sorry, paralysis. can't go to the fridge, honey. It's going to have to be you again.
Just put his head in a jar where it belongs. All right, let's take care of some showbiz biz. But first, I've got passes to give away to the very special Kevin Bean advance screening of a movie called Fright Night.
Yay!
Movie stars Colin Farrell, David Tennant, Doctor Who, to many of you, Anton Yelchin, Toni Collette, great cast. You can go to welcometofrightnight.com for more details. If you want to know more about the film, it's a reboot, basically, of the old Fright Night film, which I'm a big fan of.
It's Tuesday, August the 16th is our advanced screening, and then it's in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 19th. If you'd like to go, the first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067 get a pair of passes to attend our special Fright Night screening. Amy Winehouse's dad is hard at work on preserving his daughter's legacy. Apparently, he is taking her home. It's a 10-room mansion, more or less, in London there, and he is turning it into the headquarters for the Amy Winehouse Foundation, which, as I mentioned before, is a charity that is going to try to help people with addiction problems get into rehab facilities. The charity will also serve a few more causes, Amy's dad Mitch has added. Things that were close to her heart, he said, specifically helping children in need of hospice care and those with health problems or simply kids that are in trouble. So it'll be a wide-reaching charitable organization, and the foundation of it will be based in her home. So that's where it's going to start. Apparently, the foundation will go public with its fundraising mission on September the 14th, which would have been Amy's 27th birthday.
28th, probably, right?
I'm sorry, 28th birthday, yeah.
I hope he has better luck helping other people than he did helping Amy.
You can't, dude. You can't.
I'm just saying.
I know, but what don't you understand about that? You can't help somebody that doesn't want it.
I'm just saying he's 0-1 so far.
Wow. Fiend wants to make sure everyone hates him today.
This is the day.
He really has picked today.
Shut up, woman.
Mission accomplished.
He's picked today, and he's decided he wants everyone to hate him.
Bean just is trying to accomplish something that's been in existence for some time now. Say, yeah. So, turn your energy to another problem, Bean. You've got this one handled. This one's
you can check that one off your list.
That's off the bucket list. Here's the question: they're saying some people who would work for the foundation might have trouble working in a home where someone died. Would that be icky to you if you had a job
a
and you
fear,
knew there was
some people have a fear of that.
Yeah, some people are wigged out by that concept.
I'm not love really. It. I only buy houses where people have been murdered.
Yeah,
I'd love that. No.
I'm hoping your current house has that history soon.
You'd like to buy it.
Yes, I would. As soon as
today.
Whoever who's finished with it is done.
Once the cleanup crew is gone, it's yours.
While we're talking about Amy, she has two clothing lines that are still yet to be released. Some musicians have music left behind that's going to be released. She's got clothing lines. One is a 1950s retro-style clothing line she did with designer Fred Perry. That will be released in fall and spring of 2012. And there's yet another one in the works as well. So if you're a fan, you'll be able to buy her clothes even long after Amy has passed.
Funny, you sort of got the idea that she hadn't done anything since she went into that drug spin.
They said she would go into like big bursts of creativity.
Oh, okay.
And then go on a binge crazy. And then, disappear for months at a time. But when she was working, she was apparently a very creative person. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sam Elliott, one of my favorite character actors. He's been around a long time, and he's always good. 67 years old today. You know, Kevin, you know where you'll know him. I mean, I know you already know him.
I know.
But most recently, he played the pilot who gives George Clooney his million-mile card on the plane. Remember, sits down next to him?
You got any questions for me?
Yeah.
That guy.
How great is that guy?
He's good.
67 years old today. Melanie Griffith is 54. Curtis Blow, legendary rapper, is 52. Whitney Houston is 48 years old today. Gillian Anderson turns 43. Eric Bana, also 43, as is director and producer Mick G.
Asshole.
Oh, come on. He is not. He's a good dude.
He's a good dude. I just played that to be funny.
Thomas Lennon of Reno 911 is 41 years old today. And Anna Kendrick, speaking of Up in the Sky, she was also in that film, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Who are these people, Ralph, and why should we care about them?
They are the greatest couple ever known to man. Their love is purest and truest. And they are the, they've set the world on fire with their love is what they've done.
Are they the most in love couple ever?
They are the most in love couple ever. They are also the most controversial couple in the world.
In the world?
They're getting all the attention from everyone. So they think.
That's what they think.
And we can all learn an important life lesson from their love is what I've really distilled from their interview.
Okay.
This is culled from footage from an interview that E! The Entertainment Network did with them recently. And it was posted on YouTube, and I have become fascinated by these couple because either they are truly the dumbest people on the planet.
That's my vote.
Or
I haven't heard it yet.
they are the second and third dumbest people on the planet, which I find endlessly fascinating. Doug Hutchinson, for those of you who don't know, Doug Hutchinson is an actor who's been around for about 20 years. His biggest roles to date have been as Percy, the sadistic prison guard in The Green Mile.
Okay.
He was the guard that was not the black guy or Tom Hanks.
The big giant dude.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember him in that role, sure.
The Weasley little guy who was really sadistic and evil and hateable. Or you may know him as Horace, the leader of the Dharma Initiative in the flashback seasons of Lost.
Oh, sure.
When they went back to the 70s with the Dharma Initiative. Had longish hair, and he was kind of overseeing what was going on. Anyway, he's a pretty good actor. And he is also, like a lot of actors do, especially guys who don't work that steady, he had a teaching thing on the side. You know, he'd give acting workshops and whatnot, try to get people, you know, to give him money. Then he would give them acting tips. And that's how he met a 16-year-old Courtney Stoddard. Courtney applied for his workshop and just set her headshot and stuff. And he didn't know at the time she was 16, because you wouldn't know by looking at her. She looks like a 25-year-old whore. She's got giant cans and makeup for days, and the hair's all teased out. And
she's 16.
She's 16. And they fell in love.
Okay.
Via the internet.
Oh, so he still didn't know she was 16.
He did eventually when they were corresponding, because her mother was monitoring the correspondence.
Okay.
Apparently. And then they fell in love, and then they got married with the parental consent of Courtney. And
so that's legal because the parents said okay.
Right.
Okay.
And they didn't have any sex before that for marriage, but now they're very sexual and very much in love and very touchy-feely during the course of this interview. Ooh. So let's get to it, shall we? The first question is, what is the marriage like? It's a 51-year-old man, a 16-year-old girl living in wedded bliss. What is their marriage like? And Courtney wants us to know they're just like any other married couple.
You know, most people would say that we're not, you know, normal, you know, per se, but we are. You know, we're normal, beautiful, you know, love story, really. When you define it, you know, we connect on such a beautiful level. You know, we love life. We love doing things together. We love laughing.
They love life.
Right.
They love things.
Things.
And they love laughter. Now, how can that marriage not last if they love living?
That's
which
really
is good.
That's truly
they
beautiful.
Love laughing.
Right.
Uh-huh. And they love things.
Things.
They've got that.
They've got everything.
Here's the thing. Kevin and I both love living. We both love laughing, and we do love things. We're not married. We don't have to get married.
And it wouldn't work if we were married.
It wouldn't be a good marriage. No. It would not be a good marriage. I'm just saying those may not be the criteria for a happy marriage. I could be wrong.
This is like our singles party where we have people call in and they go, well, I like having a good time and partying and having fun.
I can't bring it all in, but the one point they do say that their marriage is great because they both watch The Honeymooners and I Love Lucy together. And I was like, well, then, you know, it's a match made in heaven.
So he's got the remote is all that means.
No, she introduced him to I Love Lucy,
what?
She says. Guy's 51 years old. He never saw I Love Lucy
please.
Before. What was their courtship like before they got married? Well, it turns out it was very chaste and innocent, according to Doug.
Again, our communication was very innocent, open, and there was nothing inappropriate mm-hmm. about it whatsoever.
Right.
There were no sexual innuendos. There was nothing until we began to fall for each other. We started using the L word and confessing to one another that we were having feelings for each other. Mm-hmm. So really, there was nothing illegal or immoral about mm-hmm. it. It was just that we found ourselves
falling
each other.
And flying on the wings of love together. Oh. You know?
Yes. They're flying on the wings of love together.
Wait, was that
she
her?
Said that without a touch of irony, by the way.
Was that her going, mm-hmm.
She does it constantly through the entire interview. Every time he's talking. She goes,
She just wants everyone to know she's on the same page as him.
That's right.
Wow.
She can follow all of his 51-year-old words.
Oh,
I'm going to start
God.
Doing that. That's going to be my new thing. I'm going to start going, mm-hmm.
This is great.
And they're flying on the wings of love together.
Well, sure.
Now that they use the L word, what, lesbian, Doug?
Yeah, why can't you say love?
Can't say love.
Loser?
Well, sex, of course.
At any point, did he turn to her and say, stop going, mm-hmm.
Oh, no. He thinks she's the bee's knees. He's constantly nuzzling her and kissing her and like, oh, you little minx.
Ugh.
So the sex, no sex before the marriage, sex
right.
after the marriage is what happened. So
yeah.
What's their sex life like? Apparently, it's very good.
Courtney Courtney was a Christian and saving herself for marriage. Mm-hmm. And you know, I got to say, if there's only one caveat to the ocean between our age difference, I wished I was a virgin when we met. And because I think it's...
It's fine that he wasn't. He's stupid. Whatever. He's a tiger.
Oh, God. You're so bad.
Oh, you're so bad.
No,
you're bad.
All right, I'm getting grossed out.
You're so bad.
It's okay. He's a tiger.
Oh, you're so bad. No, you are.
I am a virgin. You. Listening to him, I am stunned he was not a virgin at 51 when he married her.
No kidding.
Well, what's the world's reaction to their love? How's the world been reacting? Not just us.
Embracing.
Not just America. What's the world's reaction been to this unbelievable love story?
For some reason, Courtney and I have lit a match with our love.
And captivated the nation, I tell you.
It did, somehow.
Just from falling in love, you know, two souls meeting and fitting like gloves, we fell in love and ignited the world.
Like an inferno, somehow, some way, globally, we have become the most controversial couple in Hollywood and the nation and the world.
They are. They've ignited the world.
And I've never heard of them until today.
An inferno. No, Kevin, it's an inferno. You had to have heard of
them. I've never heard of them until today.
What they mean is there was a lot of press coverage on the internet when they got married because of their crazy age difference.
No.
That's all they mean. It was controversial because people said, hey, what's up?
No.
Where's child
their
services?
Their love has lit a match that has engulfed the world.
Right.
That's why they're rioting in England right now, because of this relationship. It is that they have engulfed the world with their love and passion.
Wow.
Well, Doug's, you know, it's hard being married to a 16-year-old girl. And
of
he
course.
Feels obligated to defend his wife very often.
A lot of the critics are saying that Courtney is fake.
Mm-hmm.
She is a
Barbie
plastic,
doll, whatever.
She's a plastic Barbie doll.
Yeah.
She's got fake boobs, fake lips, fake nose, fake cheekbones. She's fake hair.
Fake,
you can
pull
fake.
On it.
Can
I pull it?
And
that's not my job.
That's not
your job.
The truth of the matter is, it's not true. Courtney was born gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And God
was born this way out of the womb. You know? Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Wow. They are so deluded. They're
she was born
so
that
deluded.
Way out of the womb. Can you imagine the poor obstetrician catching that on the other end?
No,
if that was
kidding.
The case, be like, holy crap, you gave birth to a whore.
She's kind of hot looking in this photo.
She's hot.
Yeah.
But in like the trashiest kind of bad Vegas stripper way. I mean,
she looks like she should be on Rock of Love. That's the kind of woman we're talking about.
I was born perfect. Who says that?
Courtney.
Wow. Well,
it's unbelievable.
Lighting
Ralph.
A match. Well, what's unbelievable to me is that Doug thinks, you know, his manager. Quit on him when they got married. He's
bad
like,
idea.
You know what?
Not
you're
so much.
On your own now. How am I going to sell this guy, right?
PR.
I mean, his career pretty much is now over because no one wants to touch a 51-year-old guy who married a 16-year-old girl. It's way too creepy.
Yeah.
How do you get this guy a role? That's what my impression was from hearing the facts.
Of course.
But it turns out facts have very little to do with this couple.
Excellent.
Doug's career, this is the state of it right now.
I have had more opportunity now in my career than I've had. I've been at this like for 22 years, and now I've been courted by producers, directors, agents, record executives,
screenplays,
publishers, because I write, you know. And so there's, as far as a career killer. No.
They're beating down his door. They are demanding more Doug.
You know what he didn't mention? Jobs. None.
Well, he hasn't booked anything yet, but they're beating down his door. His career has never been in better shape.
Wow. I know we don't have time to spend very much time on this this chick, though, Ralph, but isn't she a Hollywood wannabe? I mean, doesn't she see herself as a singer, dancer, entertainer?
Yeah. Well,
this is her foray
met.
Into showbiz, right?
She was going to take his workshop because she plans on being an actress, model, singer, and so that's how they met. But she's still very much all about her career. I mean, she's got...
She'll never work a day.
You have
business.
To see. Get a chance. Go on YouTube. Look at her music videos. Watch her music videos.
Oh, I bet they're
magic. It's like her in a bikini in the back of some fan boat in a Florida swamp holding a pink dog, lip syncing to the worst song you've ever heard. I mean, just really crappy quality videos that are very, very entertaining. Yes, she's a mess. He's a mess. Recently, someone contacted them via email and said, I'd like to do a radio tour with you because I think it'd be interesting to, you know, people do that. They put together tours so that shows like ours will interview people.
Right.
And they wrote back and said, yeah, we'll do it. $3 million.
What?
$3 million.
They set the world on fire, Ralph.
They have set the world on fire, but not $3 million.
Do you shave down there?
That was the question you should have asked.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're great stuff. You can find all that stuff on YouTube, but it's very entertaining. And that's all right. Stop right there.
That song's over.
106.7 K-Rock.
It's over. Still over. Song's well over.
I wanted
over.
To make sure it was over.
It was well, well over.
Make sure it ended. It's 9:41.
We're letting it breathe here today. Right. That's all. Just give it a lot of distance between it and us.
Well, I don't want to talk over lyrics.
Of course not.
You don't drink the wine right out of the grape bucket.
Grape bucket. Right.
I've learned that.
A wise man said that. Yes, I've heard that as well.
Yeah. All right, time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Done the way it's supposed to be done by Ralph Garvey.
Oh, you're very kind. Lindsay Lohan. She is taking advantage of her new life. She's paid her debt to society. The ankle is off. She's doing her community service. Well, you know, an hour at a time.
Sure.
This rate she'll be done, I think in the late 2000s. What she's really doing is focusing on her career. And by career, I mean banging a lot of guys. Star Magazine reports that she's been dating 3 different guys over the span of the past couple weeks.
Isn't that exhausting?
It must be.
Just to keep everything straight, like what night and with who and where am I going and what do I know about this person and what did we talk about last time? It's too much work.
She's been dating model Spencer Falls. Spencer Falls, by the way, he is half of Spencer and... it's that ad campaign they're doing for Virgin Mobile, I guess.
The new couple,
that fake
new celebrity.
Hollywood couple.
Oh, yeah, no.
Spencer and Heidi? No, that's the real one. Yeah. Spencer and Ashley, Spencer and Helen.
Doesn't matter.
Also, she's been dating Survivor Cook Islands contestant Oscar Lust and Australian actor Brett Tucker. Same week, those 3 guys, by the way. Same week. Is she just incapable of focusing on anything that's important? Can she not put her attentions to anything that's creative sort of proactive in terms of getting her life back on track?
I think that's correct.
She must waste her time and fritter away her opportunities.
If you were Lindsay Lohan and you had a shred of credibility left, and even that's debatable at this point, wouldn't you be spending every day going to every possible show business opportunity you had and saying, look, I am sober, I am hardworking, I am ready to show up and give you the best job I can possibly do? I mean, isn't that what your focus would be every day right now?
I'd be taking a supporting role in a play in New York, or
right,
I'd be
whatever.
Taking acting classes, or I would just be working my ass off trying to prove I'm still a viable commodity in the entertainment industry. All she's been doing since she got freed from her luxurious beachside condo
right.
is go to friends' parties and date boys.
Yep.
I can't comprehend it. How she can be so obtuse as to not to recognize what she needs to do to get her life back in order.
What was her peak? Would it be Mean Girls? Would that probably be the peak of her film career?
Yeah, I would probably. Say so.
And she was good in that.
And she was really good in that. Yeah. Probably made a lot of money and was set up for a real good career, and she could get some of that back if she just wouldn't do this.
While we're talking about career opportunities, Steven Tyler may have one here. Jennifer Lopez just recently renegotiated her deal with American Idol for a second season at a cool $20 million paycheck. Steven Tyler now apparently has decided to talk to the producers of American Idol about making some more money for his second season. Here's the problem. She got $12 million for the first season, $20 million, maybe a little over for the second season. Steven Tyler, his deal was $10 million for 2 seasons. And he has decided he's worth a little more.
It's funny because $10 million for 2 seasons is an amazing amount of money.
It's a deal we'd all like to have in
until
our
you look at Jennifer Lopez and then you go, hey, not so good.
And if you're sitting on the same stage and you're doing the same job that she is, I could see why you might get a little chap ass about the fact
but
that.
But Jennifer Lopez doesn't give you this, Ralph.
Chemo, chymo, stare, stare, mahi, maho, marum, stick, a pump, a nigga, soup, bang, nip, pat, carnage, cameo.
I mean, come on. That's worth something.
You're damn right it is. She's never come up with that.
She is hot, though.
Yeah.
While we're talking about money, congratulations to Harry Potter. He is now the proud owner of the third highest box office receipts in film history. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 has made an astounding $1.14 billion worldwide in tickets sold.
Ka, and might I add, ching!
That makes it the third highest grossing film of all time worldwide. The second is James Cameron's Titanic, which was $1.8 billion. And then number one is also Cameron's Avatar, made $2.8 billion.
It made another billion on top of that. Yeah. That's crazy.
I know, everyone always says that's a record that will never be touched, but that may be a record that will never be
is
touched.
Is that because of 3D tickets are more expensive?
Some of it, yeah.
Wow.
Also because the hype leading up to that film, we forget now because Avatar has become sort of part of our cultural lexicon.
The hype couldn't have been more
everybody
than,
was talking about that film for years leading up to it.
Yeah, but it couldn't have been more than Harry Potter. The last Harry Potter movie. That hype went on for 10, 15 years.
I think that's why it did very well, but there were other Harry Potter films to be seen. Yeah. This was being promised as a film experience unlike anything you've ever seen before. Yeah. So like an Avatar 2 may do well, but it won't do what this first one did because it became a cinematic event, and those are few and far between, I think.
It is still shocking to me that he directed Titanic, the highest grossing motion picture of all time. And you would think, there's no possibility that he's going to ever top a Titanic. That's got to be as good as it gets for James Cameron. And he came back and just destroyed it worldwide. It's crazy.
Imagine if those blue cats were on an ocean liner that went down. Can you imagine those two things?
Avtanic?
Put them together.
Tyanitar?
Can you imagine?
Tyanitar would be the biggest movie ever. Aren't they talking about re-releasing Titanic in 3D?
Yes.
Isn't that the next thing for that movie?
That's the next stage for them. Have you seen the cover of Lady Gaga's new single?
No.
Her single is a duet with herself.
How's it a duet then?
It is called You and I.
A lot of singers sing background on their own songs, by the way.
And it is a duet with herself and her male alter ego, Joe Calderon.
Okay.
And on the cover of the new single, it's a photo of Gaga dressed as Joe Calderon. She's got a leather jacket and a t-shirt and short black hair. She's smoking a cigarette. She's got sideburns and she's a dude.
Like Lisa at Halloween that year.
No. She would just have a pack of cigarettes rolled up in her sleeve and carry some keys if she was going with Lisa's elaborate costume from that year. Was it a last minute thing, Lisa? Did you not think you were going to go to the party?
No, I had a costume.
Right.
But I was going to be Slash, but with all the hair in your face and the hat, and no one would even know who I was.
I understand. Okay,
right.
So you opt for a second. You go to your second costume. Right.
So, but it was last minute. I was I got to do something. So there it was.
Yeah.
It was sweet. It was really good.
But all those stores were closed that sold costumes.
Well, you can't get them that time of year, Ralph.
Really, no one has any.
Halloween costumes aren't available.
That would require money.
Week of October.
No, next time you need a loan, ask us, for God's sakes.
I think we had a deal where we could get them free, by the way.
Right, that's where I got it.
We did have a deal. That's
right.
She said
it cost money. All right.
Well, they didn't have enough at that costume shop that has 100,000 outfits.
When she got there, all that was left, the racks were bare, but on a table, there was a set of keys and a pack of cigarettes.
I
said, all right,
I'll
take that.
All right.
I'll take the smoking guy who's got locked doors costume. That's my favorite character from those books.
Or
the smoking
movies.
Locksmith. Whatever. It was a great, great series of books. We all enjoyed them. And do we need another Dirty Dancing?
I'm going to say no.
No, we don't. No. The film starring Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey is a favorite of many, but I think it's mostly nostalgic for the 1987 film. And people look back and say, oh, that was a nice time in my life. I had the time of my life, they said when they saw that film.
Wow.
But they are rebooting it. Kenny Ortega is the guy who was the choreographer on the original film. He is directing the new version. And he said he's hoping to find more triple threats, actors who can sing and dance. Well, good luck, Kenny. Who are you going to get? Zac Efron?
Hey, they made all those High School Musical movies together.
That's true.
He directed those, too.
He did direct those. And Michael Jackson is still giving back to the children, even in death.
What?
Which is creeping the children out, by the way. He's going to be on the walls of Children's Hospital here in Los Angeles. His mother, Catherine, and his sister, Latoya, and his three children, Prince, Paris, and Blanket, were all on hand at the hospital yesterday to unveil 12 sketches that were actually drawn and signed by Michael, along with a photographed portrait of him All that artwork will be going up in the hallways of Children's Hospital to bring some joy into the lives of sick children. That's what Michael would have wanted, said Catherine. He would have liked a lot more time with children, but sadly, his time here on this planet was all too short. So he packed as much time into kids as he could.
He didn't say that. You're adding to what she said.
And so
you're making it up.
They'll now be offering also, by the way, in the cafeteria at the Children's Hospital, a Jesus juice, which I think is nice.
Comes in
a little sippy cup. Kids get a load on and everyone feels happy. Today's celebrity birthday.
With the dirty mind that think like
well,
that.
Well, I'm sorry, Michael, but let's face facts.
Hey, by the way, before the birthdays, at kevinmeade.com, you can go look at the entire Foo Fighters show from Lollapalooza.
Wow.
At minute 40, when he starts doing My Hero,
yeah.
God unleashes all holy hell with rain.
Really?
And it's awesome.
Were you in the crowd at that time?
Yes.
Did you get soaking wet?
Yes.
Good times.
And muddy and everything else. It's fantastic. I don't know how long it'll be up, so go quick.
What does that mean? They're going to make us take it down?
Probably. I don't.
Well, why are we putting it up if it's illegal?
Because it's there.
But we shouldn't be doing illegal things.
I'm just saying, go.
All right, go now, people. Celebrity birthdays. Anna Kendrick is 26 years old today. I've been talking about her performance in one of my favorite films all morning long and saying the wrong title all morning long.
Good.
Yeah. I've been saying Up in the Sky.
Oh,
and it's Up in the Air.
Up in the Air. Yeah,
I apologize. Still love her in that film. She's 26 years old today. Thomas Lennon of the Beatles, of course, legendary.
Actually, this is an actor comedian. You're confusing him with John Lennon, right?
Oh, then I have no interest in his birthday. director McGee is 43 years old today. Eric Bana, also 43, as is Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Could not be a sweeter, nicer person, that Gillian Anderson.
Agreed.
Very, very adorable.
And she only does British period movies and television shows now. That's it. That's her exclusive career.
I believe
she
lives now in the UK.
Yep.
And that's where she works. But she's getting rave reviews and television work over there. Whitney Houston is 48 years old today. Rapper Curtis Blow. These are the breaks. Oh, I love that song. He is 52 years old. Melanie Griffith turns 54. And Sam Elliott. Also in Up in the Sky. Nope. Up in the Air. He's 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. I've been sick. Shut up.
Thank you, Ralph. I'm glad you made it back. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got writer, director, actor Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Part-time employee as well. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And we have the band Paramore in our studio.
Wow.
Paramore. Helly is going to be here.
Maybe we can put some illegal videos of them up on our website. That would be nice.
How dare you suggest they're illegal? I'm just suggesting that they're sometimes people don't like it.
If the cops are listening, I have nothing to do with this. It's all Kevin.
Look at the rain. That's awesome.
It looks dangerous.
All right. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.